again? The NFL. Freaking right it is. Okay. More on all of the illegal immigration stuff. And a Disney employee arrested at work in a child sex sting operation.
That will get you're listening to Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins on News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
How long does it take to tackle a home project? With Angie, you could cross it off your list before this ad is over. Just tell us what you need. Indoor or outdoor, repair or redesign, and we handle the rest, sending a top pro to get it done. You don't have to lift a finger, except to tap the screen or click the mouse. Plus, Angie is free to use. So bring us your next home project, and we'll bring it home. Download the app or go to Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com to get started.
Innovation, resilience, agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Moments like seeing my son's team cheer him on mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for postmenopausal women or for men with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
The tradition of news, sports, and public affairs excellence continues. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR, Burlington. The following is a sports presentation of News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR. KBUR, your exclusive home for Burlington Greyhounds football. Kickoff is just minutes away. Burlington High School football on News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR is brought to you by Courtesy Door Sales and Service, the Pilot Grove Savings Bank, Corey Richards American Family Insurance, the Broadway Bar and Grill, Rhinesmith's Flooring America, Standard of Beaverdale, Bob Dodds Insurance in Danville, the Danville State Savings Bank, John Hart, your Edward D. Jones Financial Advisor, Pizza Ranch, and by Ritter's Landscaping Home and Garden Center. Also brought to you by Queso's American Bar and Grill, Diamond Vogel Paints, Matt Raker State Farm Insurance, and Rocket Mortgage, Zeiser's Landscaping, Roberts Tire Center, Brown Shoe Fit, Case Spine Community Credit Union, Area Recyclers, and Southeast Iowa Orthopedics.
First, we go to the field for tonight's pregame show.
Let's go!
I crave the rush of the game.
Here's Scott Mason and John Flaherty.
Every time I hear that, is that Tom Cruise who craves the rush, or is it just some guy?
I don't know. I crave the rush
it
of the
field. It sounds like Tom Cruise.
Okay.
All right, so
and he would be hot right now with
he would
with
be with
movie.
Maverick, right, yeah. So. And I mean, maybe it was a direct quote from like whatever movie that was. Risky Business. That's what
go.
It was. Hey, welcome into the Queso's Mexican Bar and Grill pregame show now, or the Queso's American Bar and Grill because Billy Big Voice calls it the Queso's.
Either way,
American,
a great place to eat.
But we need to figure that out because if I'm saying the wrong thing, I gotta,
right? People will get upset.
Yeah, so we got to figure that out. Either way, welcome into the Queso's Blank Bar and Grill pregame show. Queso's Blank Bar and Grill. Explore new flavors or enjoy the traditional Mexican dishes you already love. Dine in or carry out. There's something for everyone at Queso's Blank Bar and Grill in Burlington. Alongside John Flaherty, Scott Mason here as we get ready for week 4 of the Iowa high school football season. What's important about week 4, John? Well, it's the final non-district tune-up before you start district play in full force next week.
And there's also the game before homecoming week. So, big night for the Greyhounds either way.
And this is, of course, the battle for the doghouse. He who loses retains the doghouse on a year-to-year basis. Right now, of course, Ottumwa in possession of the doghouse after a 42-0 loss last year at Bracewell Stadium. But historically, this series has been close. This series has been one that both teams gear up for. There is no love lost between between Ottumwa and Burlington across any sport. Since this rivalry renewed back in 2014, except for the COVID season, they've met every year. And it's 4-3 in favor of Ottumwa. So quick start's going to be important tonight. We'll tell you a little bit about that later.
Yeah, so, Scott, you know, we were talking about this on the way up, and we need to make sure that we get all our listeners in and on right now, because in about an hour, it may be over. I mean, this is a game where if you're watching on YouTube or if you're listening to, you may hear the under-over on a ball in the air not kicked at 10 or less. And in today's level of football, that really is unheard of. So you're looking at two teams that run the football similarly but yet differently. You're gonna see our Greyhounds in their typical power eye wing running the veer, but you're also going to see Ottumwa running the veer, but they're going to spread their people out a little bit farther, kind of create a little bit more lane action for their backs to get through. So and it also it presents itself as a way to throw the ball, but it doesn't happen very much for the Bulldogs.
So between these two teams, Burlington averaging 1 for 3 for 25 yards through the air. Gabe Robinson is two. I should take that back because I forgot Nolan Simpson does have a couple of passes. Gabe Robinson, the leading passer, if you will, for Burlington, 3 for 9, 75 yards. He does most of his damage on the ground.
Yeah.
42 carries, 198 yards, was the leading rusher before last week, has now fallen behind Nolan Simpson and Caden Chisel. On the other side, Tanner Shark for Ottumwa averages 5 for 11 for about 57 yards. So between the two teams tonight, you might see 6 completed passes, you might see 15 throws, and you might see a combined 75 yards in the air.
Yeah, and the thing is, what Shark likes to do, as got a chance to watch on film, it is going to be looking for one-on-one coverage, something that goes vertical. Not a lot of things underneath. You might get a rollout or a bootleg like we do as well. But you are definitely not going to see some intricate passing game on either side of the ball for tonight, fellas.
Well, it's going to be a game that will be predicated by the ground game on both sides. As John has talked about, Burlington comes in with the number 2 rated rushing attack in the state of Iowa in Class 4A at 297 yards per game. Ottumwa, they rush the football to the tune of about 3.5 times more than they throw the football. So both teams like to move it on the ground. Last week, John Flaherty, when you look back at the Oskaloosa game, a 20-3 win down at Bracewell Stadium for the Greyhounds, we talked about this on the way up. Ironically, Burlington turned Oskaloosa into what was a very one-dimensional offense, and it was the dimension that you would have expected coming in Oskaloosa would excel at. But instead, you hold the Indians to 169 yards of total offense, only about 129 through the air when their quarterback was coming in averaging close to 250.
Right.
And so this defense, as you'll hear in the pregame intro right about kickoff time, rushing the football and playing solid, sound, fundamental defense, those are the two keys to success for Burlington.
Yeah, and the biggest thing is that has, you know, pleasantly surprised us has been our young defensive back in secondary, Jordan Webb. And Sean Coleman have done a great job with the second level of defense and preparing these guys. And I don't think it was an off night for Oskaloosa necessarily. We thought there was something in the throwing motion that didn't look right, but we were pretty much in the right place after the first quarter. I think as things settled down, we were in a really good place defensively. And we did something that we've talked about, for 2 weeks as we kind of let Nolan and Trent Huffman kind of sit back and read a little bit, find the open lane, get through the gap, make the tackle so that we're not giving up unnecessary gaps in the defense to allow the offense to run at will. So, yeah, I'm real excited. And, you know, this is another situation, Scott, where we're going to want to put the Bulldogs in a passing situation because that is not into their strength, but we also have to make sure that we're playing pretty solid on the back end.
Well, you can hear a game going on in the background, as John and I talked about 3 weeks ago at Washington. We kind of like this extended pregame show. We can't do 2 hours like Gary Dolphin will do tomorrow leading up to kickoff, but we can do 45 minutes. And so what you hear in the background is the final few minutes ticking down in the sophomore game, a game in which Burlington leads Ottumwa 32-7. So barring some sort of Alcoa fantastic finish, those of you old heads out there might know what I'm talking about. Burlington will improve to 3-1 as a 9-10 squad going into this varsity game tonight. Again, week four, both teams coming in tonight at 2-1. Burlington on a two-game winning streak. Ottumwa coming off its first loss of the season last week at the hands of Des Moines Roosevelt. Let's take our first time out here on the Queso's Mexican Bar and Grill pregame show. When we come back, we'll get to things such as the Des Moines County Historical Society history of the series. I almost said restaurant. Got that on my mind. The Des Moines County Historical Society history of the series, as well as the Zeiser's landscaping, game time conditions, and some other miscellaneous facts and figures where the Burlington Greyhound football program is concerned. All that and more on the other side of this timeout. You're listening to the Queso's Mexican Bar and Grill Burlington Greyhound pregame show on KBUR.
In times of financial uncertainty, how can you stay on track? Call on someone who's invested in your success. I'm John Hart, your Burlington area Edward Jones financial advisor. At Edward Jones, we believe in building a complete picture of your financial life, including your unique goals and passions, so we can help you work toward achieving what's most important to you. Call me at 319-753-5693 or visit edwardjones.com to get started today. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
Discover new tastes, celebrate traditions, and make new ones at Queso's Mexican Bar and Grill. Queso's features fresh ingredients and distinct spices that will tantalize your taste buds. Their menu is a delicious fusion of Tex-Mex and traditional Mexican recipes, as well as signature handcrafted margaritas, all served with a smile. Explore new flavors or enjoy the traditional Mexican dishes you already love. Dine in or carry out, there's something for everyone at Queso's Mexican Bar and Grill in Burlington. Go Greyhounds!
Back here at Schaefer Stadium in Ottumwa on the Queso's Mexican Bar and Grill pregame shows. We count down to kickoff the final half minute or so of the JV game going on right now, and John's already proven his worth. There was a huge spider web in the window in front of you, and you, with your bare hands, you got rid of it?
I faced adversity and just...
What did you do with it? Did you just roll it up and flick it away?
I threw it out to the crowd.
They were very appreciative of that.
Well, I'm not sure they're absolutely aware of what's happened. So,
and I do apologize. Still got a little bit of that COVID cough working. So we're going to do our best to get through this tonight like we did last week. But if you hear me cough in your ear, it's not intentional. I have this irritating cough. I've been fighting, believe it or not, for a few months now that just sits on the back of my throat and only really irritates me when I talk. Well, that's kind of a problem during a game, when that's what I'm supposed to be doing. So, anyway, let's move on to the Des Moines County Historical Society History of the Series, a new segment for this year. The Des Moines County Historical Society, fun activities and events for the entire family. Check out their future events on their Facebook page. Well, the last time these two teams met, John, last year, week four, 9-17 of 21. Burlington won at Bracewell Stadium by the score of 42-0. All time, Burlington leads the series 49-32, already a discrepancy in the program. Ottumwa has them down for 34 victories in the series since 1907. I'm going with mine because I did my research. So, 49-32 with two ties. This will be the 84th time these two teams have met in a series dating back to 1901. Ironically, the first game I'm able to verify in this little project I did over the last 3 or 4 years was that game. In October of 1901, it was Burlington and Ottumwa. Ottumwa won that meeting way back 121 years ago. Here in Ottumwa, Ottumwa leads the way 21-18. Both ties have occurred here at Schaefer Stadium. On Friday nights, these teams have generally met on Friday, 39-22 in favor of the Greyhounds. In week four, these teams have met five times. Ottumwa has won three of them. two of which have come here in Ottumwa. As I said in the first meeting, that was way back on October 5th of 1901, the very first week of that 1901 season. The streak, of course, Burlington has won one, although Ottumwa in the last 7 years since the series resumed in 2014 has won four of the seven. So were this the World Series, they would be champions. The last time Ottumwa won was back in week one of 2019, August 30th. They won by the score of 47-21. And all time, Burlington outscoring Ottumwa by the score on average of 18-15. A couple of other things. Burlington has lost its last five games on September 16th, believe it or not, and 9 of 10 overall. Their last win came in 1988, a 21-0 win over North Scott down at Bracewell. Burlington and Ottumwa have played one time on this date back in 1983, 39 years ago, here in Ottumwa, Bulldogs 27, Burlington 24. Ottumwa has tossed 11 shutouts against the Burlington Greyhounds. BHS has tossed 14. These two teams played every season between 1926 and 1986, including twice in back-to-back seasons, 1958 and 1959. Burlington won all four of those meetings. And the 42-0 win last season marked the largest win in Burlington history in this series. The only other time Burlington scored 42 points was back in 1915. You know how they responded? Lost up here 35-0 in 1915. So we hope history does not repeat itself in that fashion.
No, you want to make sure you save your points for as much as you can. Moving on with some unique information, our miscellaneous Burlington facts here. September is a good month for the Greyhounds. They are 174-171 and 8-504 clip overall in September. And in week four, which is generally the second and third week of September, they are 29-27-1. Now, overall, with the win last week, the Greyhounds have upped their overall record to 552-480-444. And then on Fridays, they are 397-333-14 at a 543 clip. So we've continued to talk about scoring first being very important. And so it continues that we are 380-91-8 at an 80% clip win rate when we score first. So getting out and getting on top is going to be very important tonight.
Well, in a couple of respects, too, I talked to Coach Krekel that you'll hear from him in just a few minutes. And by the way, we're at 56 minutes until kickoff. They set the clock at an hour, so we've got quite the pregame show coming your way. We thought it'd be 30 minutes, but we'll just read the clock. I can't imagine it'll go a full hour, but maybe it's homecoming up here.
It is homecoming here. So, remember, we did have the 50th year reunion representative.
Maybe that's why we're at an hour. So yeah. At either rate, John and I were going to challenge our broadcasting chops.
We'll be able to
over the next 55 minutes, but. You know, these first 3 weeks of the season, Burlington has scored on its first drive. They have won the toss in all three games, have taken it right down the field and scored. And if you look at this series, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of the 7 meetings since 2014, one of the two teams has scored in double digits, has scored twice in the first quarter. Burlington has done that on 4 occasions, actually. Ottumwa has done that once. The only time it resulted in a loss was back in 2015. Burlington led 10-0 after one, lost 28-17. But the point is, if Burlington wins the toss tonight, comes up and sets a tone early, it reads pretty well that they might be able to work themselves toward a victory and vice versa.
Yeah, and, you know, with last year's success of the Greyhounds, that's really where the tide started to turn in the series between the two, because last year was out of this recent history of getting together. It was the first time where the Bulldogs were shut out here in our last five meetings, and there's been points that have been put on the board by both teams. So we are really in a great situation as we are into this week against the Bulldogs. This could be a great launching point as we get ready for homecoming and then into probably some two tough teams after that. But, you know, you got to take care of action tonight. You've got to make sure you stay healthy. You've got to make sure the one thing that noticed watching film is Ottumwa can have some pretty explosive plays, and the one positive thing about our defense is that we see the option every day anyway, so we'll be able to defend it a lot better than I think the other two teams have did. Watching the film against Roosevelt, I just think it was a numbers issue and a leverage issue, because Roosevelt was just bigger and had a little bit more on the line of scrimmage leverage than the Bulldogs. So it will be an evenly matched thing of team, an evenly matched night against two teams who know how to defend the option. It's will you have mental breakdowns to allow for explosive plays on either side of the ball? And once again, I think the fact that we've learned from our mistake at Washington, I think if something were to break like that, I think we're going to be able to hold on. I think we're in a much better place mentally and collectively as a team than we were 3 weeks ago up in Washington.
And it's amazing what confidence will do for any sports team, but especially football. I said this stat on the way up. Burlington now has 9 victories in the last 2 seasons. 7-3 last year, now 2-1 this year. That matches the cumulative total from 2015 through 2020. So it just tells you that, you know, success does in fact build on itself. And that's the thing about this, and I've thought a lot about this in the last week or so. Jim Krekel said from the get-go he was going to turn this into, he was going to take us back to the future. He was going to take us back to the Harold Tackleson era. And I'll be honest, I was one of those guys that was like, run. But he got buy-in. He got buy-in from his players. He got buy-in from his staff. He's now gotten buy-in from the fans. You run the football like Burlington does. You control the clock, you control tempo, and you wear the opponent down. And we've said this once. If we've said it once, we've said it 1,000 times. When you look at the other sideline and they look like you in terms of numbers, they've got guys going back and forth as well. So those guys you wear down on defense become less effective on offense.
Yeah, because offense is really is the place where you kind of, we talk about, you know, imposing your will. Defensive do that primarily through speed and attack, tackling, you know, nose to the football. Offenses do that by slow chips. I mean, it is slow punches to the gut that break you down because it's a 3-yard gain, a 3-yard gain. Oh my goodness, now it's a 7-yard gain, 2-yard, 7-yard, 9-yard, and all of a sudden you're just like, man, we got to find a stop. And just when you think you have a stop, especially against the team that runs, you think, okay, here we go. We're going to be able to get them behind the chains a little bit, off schedule a little bit. And yet they've been able to come through with some very timely play action, passing, and really what I've enjoyed is the inside counter game, whether it be a short counter to a wingback, or as you've seen Gabe Robinson and Kanye Baker last year, come in with a quarterback counter. I just once you get motion started, and it just does. And mentally it just wears you because you're trying to think, my goodness, we're getting these tackles, but they're just pounding on us. And then when you get over on the other side of the ball, you just don't have any energy to execute.
Well, no Greyhound running back or quarterback is averaging 100 yards on the ground. However, averaging almost 300 on the ground as a team. And that has been what has established the Burlington Greyhounds' identity through 3 weeks, sitting at 2-1, just like last season.
And we talked about it right from the beginning at week one in Washington. How are they going to replace all the yards? Last year, you'd go, okay, hey, here's Bryant, here you go. We'll just go watch him do his thing and see all of that action. And what you see now is just such a great dispersion of the ball and just allowing different backs to do different things, which allows your defense to play better because so many of those guys get some breaks from running the ball so they can play defense. The guy that has been the Iron Man and has been in the middle, which has been Nolan Simpson, both as the fullback and then as the Mike backer on the defense. And so you look at his conditioning, and he's done a great job of preparing for the season. But you've had such great impact from other guys in that spot. Noah Nixon has done a great job. We've seen Owen Baker do some good things. Phillip Phillips, though he doesn't carry the ball very much, he helps out so much in the middle on defense that it goes unsung. So it's that kind of buy-in that you talked about a few minutes ago that the team takes on, which allows them to be able to be as successful as they've been in the last 3 weeks.
This game last year, 42-0 on the scoreboard. Burlington outgained a ton of 440-117, 404 on the ground last year, led, of course, by Bryant Williams, 237 yards and 3 touchdowns. Do they hit that mark this year? Only time will tell. We're going to step away for the second time on the Quesos Mexican Bar and Grill pregame show. We thought I think I threw Chris for a loop back in the studio. We were supposed to do the Kreckel interview after the last timeout, but now we're going to do it right now. I sat down with Coach Kreckel. No, I stood up with Coach Kreckel last night after practice and during the team dinner afterward, and we talked about last week a little bit, the first third of the season, and what's going to happen tonight in his mind. What's it going to take for Burlington to improve to 3-1 heading into district action next week? Jim Kreckel and I talk on the other side of this timeout back in 2 minutes as the Queso's Mexican Grill, Bar and Grill, I should say, pregame show rolls on KBUR.
There are fun activities for the entire family at the Des Moines County Historical Society.
Yeah, and then you're going to go on.
Imagination soar with three floors of exciting exhibits that tell stories of events that happened right here in Burlington and Des Moines County. Tour the Garrett Phelps House on Snake Alley or the Log Cabin in Crapo Park. The Heritage Museum is open Tuesday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. and Saturday from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Go to dmchs.org or like Des Moines County Historical Society's Facebook page to see their special events.
At Pilot Grove Savings Bank, we believe every house and farm in Southeast Iowa tells a story. If walls could talk, they would tell of the memories made within them. Do you have a goal of finding a new home? Every farm paints a picture. Do you see your family there? Our loan officers are available in four counties to listen to your financial goals. We want to help you have a happy ever after in the storybook of your dreams. We're Pilot Grove Savings Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
It's never too early to start planning your landscaping projects for 2023. Whatever you envision when you peer out your door, the skilled staff at Zeiser's Landscaping will work with you to develop your project from concept to completion. They are experts in the areas of creative design, plant choice, use of appropriate hardscape materials, irrigation systems, and in weaving these components into a successfully executed landscape plan that suits your needs and style. Contact the landscaping experts about your home or business today. Zeiser's Landscaping in Burlington. In Southeast Iowa.
Hard to believe, Coach, but we are already one-third of the way through the football season and coming up on our last non-district game. And let's reflect a little bit before we move forward. By the way, Head Coach Jim Kreckel of your Burlington Greyhounds. Same place you were last year, 2-1 through the first three games.
Yeah, it is kind of weird. You know, of course, when you plan on the off season, you're always saying, what can we do to be undefeated? And it, every year we've been around here for 20-something years, we just always wanted to be in that position. But we're not, and it is what it is. So you just keep, you know, and that's just off-season stuff. But, yeah, you get to each week. It's a one-and-oh affair you're trying to get to. And, you know, being 2-1 is a good position because that's what it is at this point. You know, we'd love to be 3-1. And we'll just see if we can get there. We're working our tails off to try to be.
Of course, a couple things to keep in mind. One, you could very easily be 3-0. And I know if fans and butts were candied nuts, every day would be Christmas. Yeah. But if that second drive doesn't end in a fumble at Washington and it's a two-score game, we talked about it 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Right.
But the other thing, too, to keep in mind is that this is continuing to try and build a culture that 2-1 was unheard of for many, many years, you know, for the past decade and a half. Yeah. So to be 2-1, not only this year, but in consecutive years, shows the upward trajectory of the program in general.
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, the kids, like we were talking about tonight, Gabe was running both no-huddle run plays and no-huddle off or pass plays tonight. And we just looked at each other. Somebody had a question. We saw it on the field, and he was an on-the-field coach. And the question got to me. I go, look at Gabe. I said, he's doing a good job discussing, you know, what has to be take place. And I said, well, this is a kid in his third year of the system, and that's what you should have. And so I just sat back and watched it take place. I just said, I'm not going to go tell the kid what to do. I said, Gabe will tell him. And that's how comfortable he is. And I think these kids are comfortable in their shoes with what we're doing on offense and defense, and that's what it should be. So, you know, it's not that you come down here each week and you're resting on laurels of that, but I think it's a confidence factor that you take in each week that, okay, we know that that's not going to be the case if we lose a ball game, is that we don't know what we're doing. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of nice to have that confidence. Our kids are playing with confidence on an in-out, day-in, day-out basis, not only through practice but going into our games. We have that in our DNA, I guess. So, yeah.
Let's talk about the offense first. So three consecutive games where you've started with opening drive touchdowns. Not to mention that the style's a little different this year, but just like last year, you're number two in the state in Class 4A in rushing. So, I mean, again, we talk about this culture, and Flair and I joke about it, but from day one, you said this is what you're going to do, and this is how we were going to do it, and all it was going to take over time was buy-in, because it's a different offense. This is 2022.
Yeah.
You took us back to the 50s. But when it's good and it's rolling, it works.
Yeah. Yeah, and we're a lot different from last year. You know, we got totally, we're a running back by committee team this year, and we're okay with that. And we just said if you know, we look at each week, we look at what we're doing, we have things we can do, but we still look and say, hey, do we do this against this opponent? You know, can we, you know, put this in against this opponent? And then we also assess, okay, let's not overdo it with what we got. We're still committee kids, and we're just still trying to fit our parts, but we've always had a package, and like last year, you would have seen probably most of that full package come to fruition. But we're okay with still sticking with just a couple sets here and there and still being able to throw the ball. You know, we were unhappy when we didn't complete that first drag pattern in man coverage, as he was off to the races if he catches that. And our kids know that. So it's not like we don't like to throw the ball. At one time, somebody said, do you realize you're averaging like 26 yards a catch on pets like Leeds Estate? I said, I bet the passing teams love seeing that because we've completed about four or five passes. Yeah. But, you know, that's who we are. And you're right. A couple years ago, we said, we're going to stay the course. We're not going to deviate from it. And I think it's paid off for us. I mean, and we're competitive with it. It's a style of play we like. We like to shorten the game. We like to play about 120 plays a night. If you want to push us to 160, I mean, our kids aren't gonna back down from that.
Mm-hmm.
But we would rather be in a 120 situation, give or take a handful of plays here and there, because our kids are also playing defense. And we know that. And that's the kind of game we want. So, and that's kind of been working for us. And, you know, you can go back to even that loss we had. Well, it was a competitive game. We were in a position to win it. And the style of play that we have chosen here works for us. It's gonna keep us competitive, and that's what we want.
You mentioned defense. So let's talk about the defense. 45 points. 45 points in three games. And you turned in an ironic twist. You made a passing team one-dimensional, even though that dimension was passing. You completely shut down their run game, made it so the only way they could move the ball at all was to throw the football, which it goes against conventional wisdom, given that he'd thrown for over 500 yards in 2 weeks. But it worked last week, and you got pressure on the quarterback, and you played good coverage in the back seven, and you limit them to 169 yards of total offense.
Yeah, we were real happy with that. I mean, that defense has played really well. And, you know, there was a couple games there, you know, where there's some points given up, like, you know, even the one with 3 seconds left in the game where they scored. And, you know, okay, so it's not totally reflective-wise, point-wise. But, but there again, I'm not a stat. I mean, I know you're the stat master. And
I am.
And I appreciate looking at stats, especially in the off-season. I enjoyed looking through all that stuff. Think, wow, we did that. Oh, wow, we did that. You know, but the bottom line is, you know, we just want to win football games at Burlington. We went several years, you know, I was a part of it where it was just a drought to try to win football games. So I don't really care how we win it. I don't care if it's 6 fumble recoveries for touchdowns and our offense gets stuffed for the night. I'll be a happy dog at the end of the night if we can win a game, no matter how it happens. So, yeah.
Yeah, 9 victories in 2 seasons matches what you'd had the previous 5-plus seasons before that. So, I mean, it's quite the turnaround. And, you know, part of it is, John and I have talked about this a lot, too, that when you look on the other sideline, that team doesn't look so different from you, and it wasn't always that way. During those struggle times.
No, exactly right. Yeah, actually Iowa football, just in general, Iowa high school football, going to 5 classes is the smartest thing they could have done for all the high schools in the state. I think. I mean, now we're playing teams our size or they're a hair under, or like we're going to go to Tomo and they're a 5A team, and we don't have a problem, but they're not a humongous 5A school where it's 2,000 kids, you know, in their high school, and it's an old rivalry, and we're looking forward to it. We got to step it up, you know, when we go up there, because, you know, they got a lot of kids, and they got a lot of kids that are good athletes and stuff in a 5A program, as it should. So it's a good challenge for us, and it is a factor of who we're playing now and stuff like that. But, you know, the bottom line is you still got to do the right things to win those games, and we're doing that, and we're happy with that.
Yeah, we'll talk about Ottumwa just a little bit. This is a rivalry that goes back. Ironically, you talk about the stats. The first game I'm able to accurately verify, 1901 week one against the Ottumwa. So this is the oldest rivalry going back, maybe fourth time you guys will have met. When this is all said and done. But, you know, you can throw the class things out the window, I think. They're not the biggest. We're not the smallest. It's just two teams battling for what they call the doghouse. And, you know, seven times these teams have met since the renewal of the rivalry back in 2014. And you got a target this year. And this is really the first time I will say you're now the hunted. And I come from the perspective down here last year, 42-0. Obviously, athletes have long memories. You now have to go up there and defend that and try and guard against them wanting their piece of flesh.
Yeah. Well, we could be the hunted or the hunters. I really don't know from the outside perspective, so I don't care, because we always consider ourselves the hunters. So we're going to go up there looking to try to win a game like any other week when we play football. Tumwa's a great rivalry. I mean, as a kid, I played in that Battle for the Doghouse rivalry. And that was a lot of fun. I mean, I played a game up there where the lights went out half the stadium and the coaches decided to keep playing. So there was a little bit of holding going on and things like in the shadows. I still remember that as a kid.
But you didn't. You played by the rules no matter what.
I just played hard. That's kind of like I just did what I was told. That's kind of Coach Abel was my defensive coordinator, and I just did what he told me to do. That's all I remember. So, you know, that's kind of all we ask our kids today. That's, you know, I can go back to even playing under him, and it's been a part of me. It's like, just, you know, do what we're asking you to do, and we're going to give you our best shot as coaches. You give us your best shot as players, and together as a family, you know, we're going to, at the end of the night is done, we're going to walk off the field. We're either going to enjoy what we did or not. You're always going to try to be better, but that's just part of it. But, yeah, it's a great rivalry. We're looking forward to it.
Well, we're going to close out non-district play tonight, and then we get ready for the real stuff, if you will, starting next Friday night. But first things first, Bulldogs Grounds coming up in a few minutes. Thanks for coming on, Coach.
I appreciate it, Scott.
Head Coach Jim Krickle, your Burlington Greyhounds. Kickoff is right around the corner. You're listening to Burlington Greyhound Football on KBUR. Back here at Schaefer Stadium, Jim Krickle. Nice, good evaluation and thoughts as he reflects on the first 3 weeks. I thought the thing that stood out to me was, and it's timely because we are all Hawkeye fans in this booth as well, doesn't care if it's four safeties and a field goal, they just want to win games at Burlington, and really that was a foreign concept for far too long. We talked about this off the air. Back-to-back winning seasons haven't happened here since you were on the sideline in 2007 and 2008, and before that, it was 20 years before that, 1988 to 1992, when the teams strung together five in a row. But really, putting back-to-back successful seasons together has been pretty few and far between in Greyhound history. So a real opportunity to do some things. And not to put the cart before the horse, but here's an Ottumwa team that's very equal to us in terms of numbers on the field, performance, statistically. Next week, Clinton, you could be looking at 4-1 again, like last year, heading into that North Scott game in week six.
Yeah, and you know, the thing is that that I really enjoy about Coach Krickle is that he is, as much as you might be the stat guy of all, he's like the historian. He is the guy who sits on the old wood stump and he tells you all the stories of yesteryear when things are going on, and his love for Burlington football just runs extremely deep. And so he's always been of that mentality that he doesn't care if it's a 2-0 win or a 108-100 win, as long as it's a win. So it's great, and he recognizes the idea of where we were to where we are now. Because when I first came into the booth, we had talked, and even my time on the sidelines, we talked about apples and oranges, apples and oranges, apples and oranges, and now we have apples and oranges, and we see that we are very competitive and we're very skilled. And the one thing that, you know, I try to make mention of all the time is how well we coach. Because you can have people and you can go up, and I think you see it all the time in college football, especially at the beginning of the year, about who does really do well coaching when you have teams that are FBS teams and FCS teams and the score is close, or we have the upsets like we had the last couple weeks. You see the skill in coaching of how to adapt and how to get kids to play maybe above their physical level because they are so mentally and emotionally bought in with confidence and trust in what's being laid out in front of them on a weekly basis. So it's exciting, and I do agree with you, Scott. I think we're in a situation where I don't want to get too overconfident, but I really feel like we could be sitting at 4-1 going into some of the red-letter games of our season.
Well, and like we say, don't put the cart before the horse, but it is there for the taking. And honestly, I think there's 5 winnable games on this schedule. 2 are already in the books. Could have been 3. When you look at the district play, there are a couple of winnable games there. So, and that's not to say anything about Fort Madison and Liberty. I'm thinking of Clinton and Mount Pleasant specifically. Not to take anything away from those programs, but it's there. And if you want to get it done, you just got to find a way to get it done.
Right, and it's on paper. I mean, all we're talking about is on paper. And we have no idea when Liberty comes down or when we go up to North Scott just what the mental state is. And, you know, a couple breaks here, a couple breaks there. Now, we know that North Scott has been, you know, at the top of the mountain for a long time, had a state championship in there. So you just never know because it is high school kids. And so you got to play them out. And, you know, on this side, when we feel very confident, we can't be too overconfident that we don't execute. But the other thing is the same way. We can't go up to a place like North Scott and with one bad break think that it's all over. We got to continue to grind. So, yeah, I think on paper it's easy to say easily 5-4, possibly 6-3, and a doable 7-2. You know, and you just never know. But that's why you play the game and not just talk about it.
You got that right. Well, let's check some things off our list here on the Queso's Mexican Bar and Grill pregame show. Let's get to the Diamond Vogel Paints Colors of the Game. Diamond Vogel Paints, delivering quality coating solutions distinctively since 1926. They're located at 3200 Division Street, Burlington, Iowa.
Yeah, and you're not going to see anything different from the Greyhounds. They're going to be in their white jersey with their solid black shoulder yoke and their purple numbers, and their pants are going to be black with that wide mesh purple piping, and then their helmets are, again, going to continue to be deep purple with no helmet stripes and a black face mask with the new double-sized Greyhounds. And so you hear Deep Purple's Smoke on the Water coming in as we talk about the home team, the Bulldogs of Ottumwa.
You know, I put that on there just so I can do that.
And I love the song, so I'm okay.
Might have to have Chris get that all queued up for us next week.
You are. Yeah,
when you say right. Deep Purple, he's got to start playing that music.
So we have red jerseys for the Bulldogs of Ottumwa. They have 2 white stripes around the shoulder. They have white numbers with their pants being white with 2 wide red stripes down the outside of their pants. Their helmets are white with the single red down the middle, just a single stripe. And then they have their red face masks with the block O. So we're doing our college comp set up here, and it's going to continue to be TCU. But we had a plethora of college as we did.
I said Central, but I like yours better now that I look at their uniform.
I did Nebraska, and then we went Illinois State. I mean, we went to a ball state.
I think you ought to stick with Nebraska because of the singular helmet stripe.
Oh, yeah.
And because of the very simple block O. Think Ohio State.
Yep.
When you're thinking of the O on the side of the helmet. But very simple uniforms, very clean uniforms. White helmets, red jerseys, white pants, bada bing, bada boom.
You and I are on the same page with tradition. It just looks classic. It just oozes football.
It does. Let's get to some scores. First off, I shouldn't say scores because there aren't none yet. How about some games? We'll start with week 4 games around District 3. A couple of big matchups. We'll start at the opposite end, however. Clinton on the road tonight. Next week's opponent at Bracewell Stadium for homecoming 2022 for the Greyhounds. The River Kings on the road at Maquoketa tonight. The River Kings 1-2 Maquoketa. Makokita, not Makokita. Makokita starting, or I should say still looking for their first victory of the season. Two teams looking for their first victory still. Taking the field in Mount Pleasant tonight at Maple Leaf Stadium as the West Burlington Falcons take on the Panthers. Both teams, as I said, 0-3, so somebody gets off the schneid tonight. Receiving votes this week in the Class 4A poll were the Fort Madison Bloodhounds. They are 3-0. They will play host to the Demons of Washington. Washington comes in at 2-1 after having lost a couple of weeks ago. Then the two marquee games. First off, Iowa City Liberty. They are ranked number 9 in Class 4A. They travel to Clear Creek and Mana. The Clippers received votes this week, both teams at 2-1. So one team will emerge 3-1 going into district play in week 5. The biggie across the state, I dare say, the top three teams in Class 4A. Cedar Rapids Xavier, number 2 in Class 4A, going to Eldridge. Take on the Lancers of North Scott, number 3. So a number 2 against number 3. You don't see that very often in high school football, but it sets up very nicely going into district play to conclude their non-district portions.
Yeah, very, very unique offenses that match up there, because Cedar Rapids, Xavier, it's power straight ahead, where you got North Scott that does a lot of motion and a lot of moving around. It really is a game that if you get a chance to watch it somewhere, go ahead and sit down, because I think you're going to be entertained by two very solid programs with some great coaching staff and some great players as well. So with that, we got some games around Southeast Iowa. Let's take a look at those. Starting off, Keokuk goes on the road and plays Oskaloosa, two teams that we saw and were pretty handily taken care of. And then we go Central Decatur, travels all the way to Cardinal. Is that what we're talking about?
The Cardinals of Central Decatur taking on Cardinal, the Comets.
Now, yeah. Moving on down the road, you see number 1 in Class 2A, Williamsburg, will take on the 1-2 Central Lee team down there in Central Lee.
Hawks.
Thank you. Lisbon is
Lions.
1-2 at Columbus Junction.
Wildcats.
You receive some votes. Are you going to just do this the rest of the way?
Yes.
All right. Well, then this is going to be my last one then. Highland
Huskies
goes on the road and faces North Cedar.
I don't know.
Rapids,
the North Cedar Rapids.
And then your 2-2 Winfield Mount Union Wolves will take on HLV, who is winless on the season.
I don't know. HLV is something Victor.
And then Iowa Valley 3-1 takes on the number 2 ranked team in class 8-man football. Yeah. I was going to do that. And that is Waco.
Mediapolis received votes this week in the Class 1A poll. They will play host to the Regals of Iowa City Regina. Mediapolis 3-0, Regina 2-1. They also received votes, so a pair of almost-ranked teams meeting up 20 miles north of Burlington. New London 2-2, after starting 0-2, have won their last two. They will play host to English Valleys tonight. English Valley still looking for their first win of the season. The number 2 team in Class 1A, Pella Christian, they will play host to Van Buren. Van Buren at no slouch in its own right. They are 2-1. Pekin on the road tonight. They'll be at Wapello to take on the Indians. Pekin the Panthers, 2-1. Wapello 1-2. And in the final game from around the area that I took note of, Knoxville will play host to Fairfield. The Trojans are 1-2 through 3 weeks. Knoxville still looking for their first victory. They are 0-3.
So here we go. I think the table is set for tonight, Scott. I think we've gotten taken care of all that we want to take care of. Two interesting notes in Iowa high school football that is surprising to anybody who follows it. And as we enter week 3, a perennial favorite is on the verge of maybe doing something they haven't done in school history, and that is the Bettendorf Bulldogs are sitting at 0-3 and staring 0-4. Squarely in the face as they meet up with a Cedar Rapids Prairie tonight. So, and then just a little bit farther west of us, the Pella Dutch are sitting at 0-3, possibly getting ready to look at 0-4 as they get into action tonight. So, really, you know, some very interesting things, because we talked about Columbus Junction, a team that had a lot of school pride for a long time and has been down and now is making a really good resurgence on this 2022 season.
I got to give you some credit, too. I remember many, many times you and I talking about Bettendorf, and you could see the population center moving. Of course, Bettendorf is home to both the Bulldogs and Pleasant Valley High School. And you said the money which had typically gone to Bettendorf, I mean, look at their facilities. Look at the number of kids who played football historically. Look at everything that they were able to do athletically around the Bulldog sports programs. You know, you said probably 10, 12 years ago, the money's moving to PV. The best players are starting to become Spartans. So you called it. You said Bettendorf's going to take a step back. I don't think either of us would have ever said 0-3, potentially 0-4 step back.
No.
But it has been shocking, the decline, not only in football, but in most every sport across the board for Bettendorf has really taken a step back and come back to the rest of the pack, where for so long, basketball, baseball, football, soccer, you name it, Bettendorf was the gold standard in the Mississippi Athletic Conference.
Yeah, and now, you know, we talked about Pleasant Valley, but again, there were days in my earlier part of the career here in Burlington when we would go ahead and write North Scott in as a win.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Even Assumption. And so now you're seeing those two teams, and really if you go up to Eldridge and you want to see, you know, what a premier high school is looking like, take a look at what's going on the campus of North Scott. And they are now up for a vote for another referendum to add another $5 to $7 million in their facilities. And so that's a huge investment, but that's, you know, as I travel to see my kids in the Des Moines metro area, where I used to travel and see a bunch of farm and open land, it is now multiplexes and condos and $750,000 houses. I mean, it is an amazing sight to see. So, yeah, and you never want to wish too many bad things on your opponent, but, you know, they've been on top for so long, and really Pella as well, to have them kind of be humbled a little bit, you know, I know it's disconcerting to the fan base as well as the coaches and the players at both schools.
Yeah, I'll be politically correct. I would not, you know, and I'd be politically correct as much as anything because I'm friends with Zach Shea, and I hate the fact that it is happening under his watch. But as a competitor and a coach against the Bulldogs for as long as I have been and for as long as I was, whether it's in the dugout or wherever I was at, you know, competing against them, there are no tears shed.
No.
You know,
it's
all part of the rivalry. You know, Burlington-Bettendorf, we always considered it a rivalry, but I'll doubt Bettendorf did because it was like Bears-Packers.
No.
It wasn't a rivalry when I think in 39 historical matchups, Bettendorf led 34-5 or 41-5 or something like that.
Sure.
If Burlington won, man, it set a tone, especially if they won in week one. It set a tone for the rest of a season.
I had no idea. I had no idea when I arrived in 1990 as the head sophomore coach, and we lost to Bettendorf 12-7 as a sophomore game, and I was getting a lot of cheers and way to go, and I was like, we just lost. And they like, you don't really understand.
Yeah.
And then the next year I moved up as a varsity assistant, and it was the 91 game where we took them down on a two-point conversion.
15-13.
In the corner, and I can remember the late Marv Hominek just absolutely beside himself, throwing papers, tearing stuff up. And, you know, I was like, hey, good. And they're like, you still don't understand. And then we got to the playoffs, and then I kind of understood what was going on. So, yeah, and you don't. You know a lot of great people, former Burlington Matt Siebold's up there. And you don't want to, again, it's just the beauty of the cycle of high school sports.
Yeah.
You know, you're up for a while, and now they're just at that point where now things are going to turn on. And I'm going to tell you this. Bettendorf would say, don't shed any tears for us. We got to get better. I mean, that's just absolute truth, too.
And it's something you and I discussed throughout your tenure. You're only as good as the players. You can be the best coach in the world. And I long said that, you know, for a while in Burlington football history, shall we say, recent history, you could have resurrected the dead body of Vince Lombardi, and they may have still gone 1-8. You got to have the talent. You got to have the depth. And that's something that Burlington lacked for a very long time. Hey, let's go ahead and step away for that five-minute break you talked about earlier, Chris. When we come back, as the Quesos Mexican Bar and Grill pregame show rolls on, hopefully we'll be about ready for the anthem. Now, I'm just now seeing the band come out, so let's go ahead and step away for that 5 minutes. When we come back, it'll be about time for the anthem, and we'll get that on the air for you, too, as that is sponsored by Ryan Schmitz Flooring America. Back in five right here as the pregame show rolls on KBUR.
Here at Pizza Ranch, we'd like to thank our Swedish friends for bringing the buffet to America. They called it the smorgasbord, but it was a success anyway. So we started our own buffet and loaded it up with pizza, chicken, sides, salads, and cactus bread. And you can even request any pizza you want anytime you visit. We call it Buffet Your Way, because smorgasbord your way, well, that doesn't rhyme at all. Pizza Ranch. Mmm.
Come to Pizza Ranch in Burlington for their lunch and dinner buffet. For delivery or to go, call 754-5555.
At Reinschmidt Sporting America, we are big fans of local sports, and we're proud of the athletes who have the courage and the drive to compete. We know success on the field or court takes great teamwork, trust, and dedication from all your teammates and coaches. We live by those same qualities here at Reinschmidt. From our team to yours, best wishes in the games to come. We'll be rooting for you. Family-owned and operated and part of your community for over 85 years. Reinschmidt's Flooring America on Roosevelt Avenue in Burlington, where friends send friends.
Hi, this is Melinda Bickle with Bickle Cycling and Fitness. E-bikes continue to open doors to new riding opportunities. These electric pedal-assist bikes are incredibly fun. They pedal like a regular bike, but when the assist is turned on, it gently amplifies your effort, helping you up hills and keeping up with family. From recreational to hunting, many of our e-bikes at Bickles offer step-through, upright, and flat-footed frame designs, which are especially helpful if you have knee or hip issues. The sealed, waterproof batteries, hydraulic disc brakes, and fenders also inspire more riding confidence and control, regardless of the weather conditions outdoors. As a local bike shop, service is our top priority. We are very mindful of providing bicycles from reliable brands. Many of our pedal assist e-bikes are powered by Bosch, which meets a high standard of quality, serviceability, and ease of use, allowing us to run diagnostics and provide firmware updates in-house. With an excellent selection and a quiet side street for test rides, we welcome you to try one today. Bickle Cycling and Fitness in West Burlington, Iowa.
Contractors, do-it-yourselfers, the professional staff at Standard of Beaverdale can help you every step of the way. Doors, roofing, siding, windows, decks, electrical, and of course, lumber. Standard of Beaverdale will help you with the planning and design no matter what project you're working on. And they deliver. Need a new refrigerator or stove? Standard of Beaverdale. Check out the large appliance showroom. Enjoy the game. Standard of Beaverdale on Beaverdale Road in West Burlington.
With any dream, the wind won't always be at your back. The sun won't always be shining, and some rain is going to fall. American Family Insurance is like a good solid roof that you can trust to protect your biggest dreams. With plans that could save you up to 23% when you bundle your home and auto. Also, you can continue to dream fearlessly, no matter what comes your way. American Family Insurance.
Visit mfam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, assigned its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Contact Corey Richards, agent, at 319-753-2952 today.
Slamming the actions. I'm Lisa Lacera, Fox News. The Biden administration with harsh words for Republican governors who sent migrants to Northeast states as it defers any legal action that could be taken against the states to the Justice Department.
White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre says it will be up to the Justice Department to follow up on any potential legal action from migrants being transported to Washington, D.C. and Martha's Vineyard.
This is dangerous. They're putting children's lives at risk. They're putting families' lives at risk.
The administration says Texas Governor Greg Abbott and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis are treating migrants like chattel and political pawns. The governors say the Biden administration is not preventing thousands of immigrants from illegally crossing the southern border every day, putting a strain on local and state resources. At the White House, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
President Biden met this afternoon with family members of Brittany Griner and Paul Whelan. Griner, a WNBA star, is being held on drug charges in Russia, while Whelan is jailed on spying charges. The U.S. sending another round of aid to Ukraine as forces there continue to retake areas that had been controlled by Russian forces.
Together with our allies and partners, the United States has been delivering an unprecedented amount of weapons and equipment that Ukraine's forces are using quite skillfully in the field.
White House National Security Spokesman John Kirby. This is the UN General Assembly has voted to allow Ukraine's president to deliver a recorded address to next week's gathering of world leaders, making an exception to its rule that all leaders speak in person. A woman who was missing after mudslides in California has been found dead. Thunderstorms on Monday triggered the mudslides, carrying rocks, trees, and earth that washed away cars, buried homes, and affected about 3,000 people in remote communities in the San Bernardino Mountains. America is listening to Fox News.
Identity theft shows no sign of slowing down. In fact, more than $14 billion stolen last year. That's a criminal success story and a wake-up call. It can be dangerously easy to steal your identity. LifeLock by Norton makes it easy to help protect yourself. If you become a victim, LifeLock will work to fix it. No one can prevent all identity theft, but everyone can save 25% on their first year of protection with promo code BECK at LifeLock.com. LifeLock.com, promo code BECK.
Wireless headphones. That'll be $200.
I'll use my Capital One Quicksilver card.
Now that's a hit. You used the Capital One Quicksilver card, which makes you the hero of every purchase. With Quicksilver, you earn unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase everywhere.
I wanted running music, but unlimited 1.5% cash back is pretty heroic.
Good instincts. Every hero needs a theme song. The Capital One Quicksilver card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See Capital One.
Back here at Schaefer Stadium, we're inside of 15 minutes until kickoff of tonight's Week 4 matchup between the Ottumwa Bulldogs and the Burlington Greyhounds in the annual battle for the Doghouse. And I keep saying, since the series renewed in 2014, John Flaherty, I forget, these two teams were supposed to open the 2020 season, but didn't because of COVID, and so they've played every year except for 2020 when the season was shortened, delayed, then shortened to just six games.
Yeah, and so we... You know, we're just kind of, you and I are kind of sitting here waiting for, we thought the band was coming on and we were getting ready for National Anthem. Now the band just kind of played its thing and went on its way. It's homecoming here tonight at Schaefer Stadium and Tom Kapadich Field. And we should be seeing a host of alumni as they come back to support their Bulldogs. I'm sure we will be having the crowning of the homecoming queen at halftime. But I believe... if we can see, we are in a very unique press box situation. We're down on the lower level, so if the fans stand, we're going to have to join them in standing because we won't be able to see. Scott can see down to about the 10-yard line. I can get the whole field to my right, but about the 20 as I lose my vision. So I'm going to be we might be cuddling a little bit too much as the play of the action moves to the west side of the field.
Yeah, if I could make a suggestion, put the radio people up above in the higher of the two levels and then put the coaches down low, but they probably figured that the coaches need to be higher in order to see. I mean, it creates – it's kind of like Burlington's press box in that you kind of have to extend your head out to see either direction in some respects. This is pretty drastic, however, up here just because of the configuration and – how close we are to the fans.
Now, you know the two places that I'll say that this really resembles.
No.
Muscatine and North Scott.
Oh.
You get to Muscatine, you might have to just go ahead and stand outside to be able to call the game because once the crowd stands, you're not seeing the field. And North Scott is not a whole lot better because we get, and I remember my days as a coach, as an assistant, that we would have the late Don Brandt and Ralph White to my right, along with Denny Abel and myself on the other side, and you know, Mr. Brandt would be telling us, not so loud, not so loud, and don't say that kind of thing. I'm like, well, we're in the middle of a game, Don. We're
emotions take over. Well, in two games, were you with me the year that the Iowa State band? Or were
I was
still on
the
sideline. Okay. So the Iowa State band, the band director, evidently friends with the band director at Muscatine.
They were going to play Western Illinois.
Well, I thought it was Iowa. I thought it was Iowa, Iowa State the next day.
Well, they were coming down to play somebody, and
I think
thought
it was
they were
Iowa.
Heading east to Western Illinois, but that could also make sense. And I was caught between trying to get everybody focused and just, I hate to say it, I'm a fan of big bands, and they were really good.
So. They were loud because they were blowing in our direction, opposite of us in the press box. Now, and then the North Scott game, Taryn Madsen hits a game-winning field goal as time expires. In the rain at North Scott, I want to say 2009-ish?
2010, because that was one of Josh Osborne's great games, and this is when we began talking about changing the field. If we were talking to North Scott and the Iowa State field turf people, and they came down and they said, you watch, our field will take it on. And I can remember it was a downpour, and the field looked like it's field turf, and then Josh Osborne made a tremendous just stop on a dime cut, and it took a little divot out, And I'm telling you, the grounds crew people were like, were shocked. That was, and they came in after the game and they were already on top of it, seating and patting it down. It was like, I've said, that's only one mark. You know, cause you remember playing, when we played Clinton in the downpour and we were actually taking off tufts of grass because they'd laid down some sod and we were actually having to re-roll the sod down.
So the downpour, I remember Brady Street Stadium week 9 of whatever season against Davenport West.
Yes.
Burlington 7, West nothing, and it was a downpour all night long. I do remember that.
It was a good sideways downpour. That was always fun to have it just sting your eyes as you're going.
So programming note, Chris Arnett back in the studio. If you're with us, we will do what we talked about earlier, which we will take us up to the anthem, and then immediately out of the anthem, you go into my special thing that I put together every week, my pregame, countdown to kickoff type thing. So the anthem's coming up. They've got the band on the field. We should be hearing that in just a moment. Don't forget the national anthem here in 2022, sponsored by Reinschmidt's Flooring America. Reinschmidt's Flooring America, for all of your flooring needs, it's where friends send friends. So, once we get done with the anthem, we will go. I'll tell you what, we'll just do it right now. I will say it. Don't do it, Chris, until after the anthem. But when the anthem is over, that will do it for the Quesos Mexican Bar and Grill pregame show. And but there is a delay. The band director was very meticulous in setting up everybody at their various positions. So I don't know if that just means that he's wanting to make sure it's perfect for homecoming, or they don't necessarily have a lot of time to practice up here, or what it may be. But now there's just a lot of standing around and waiting for something.
Well, they are working on, as I can see, the soundboard that will project not only the band sound, but we have the Atumwa High School Choir, or at least members of the Atumwa High School Choir, who will be singing the national anthem with us. And so they're just trying to get everything set out on a very special night. And it should be exciting.
The Hell's Bells, first off, by AC/DC. You know what? This is what they play, by the way, with the who's the closer for the Mets? Why does his name escape me now? So the closer for the Mets has this cool entry music when he comes in at Citi Field. He comes into this cool horn by Tommy Trumpet or Tony Trumpet or whatever his name. Anyway. It's a really cool song called Narcos. Well, now the Cardinals, when Ryan Helsley comes into the ballgame, saw it Wednesday night, they dim the stadium, they turn the lights off, all the red lights that you can get turn on, and they play Hell's Bells, which of course is a tremendous knockoff from what they did for Trevor Hoffman in San Diego all those years whenever he'd come in. It is a beg, borrow, and steal business, though.
So, you know, and I love how traditions change as the coaching staff here at Atumwa has made the change, because long, long time tradition was the march, single file march down the ramp here on the east side of the stadium, down the east side of the stands, and then on. So tonight what you're seeing is, or what you're listening to, is the Atumwa Bulldogs are stolen away in the whatever receiving room on the west side of the stadium.
Well, they're actually in the end zone right now.
And so then they should be making their way out on the field.
And I would guess
that would take us
to the anthem. Now here comes Atumwa onto the field. We are, killing time as much as anything. We're about 6 minutes away from kickoff.
Very nice tunnel, Scott. Very nice tunnel by the Atumwa band.
So that's what they were setting up, was the tunnel.
Little 100-yard run for the Bulldogs, as they have, which is what you want to do when you have low numbers. You want to have a quick 100-yard sprint before you get going out of
the
game.
Well, they weren't running their hardest. They weren't. But they weren't trying to be
here.
Usain Bolt.
There's some linemen here who are probably like, "Could I just relay this?"
The linemen just finished their 100-yard sprint. So yeah, more and more I look at it, that's Nebraska. Absolutely. Maybe a little bit of Wisconsin, but I would say mainly Nebraska.
Good blend.
Yeah. And so I keep waiting for the announcement of it's time for your national anthem.
Everybody is standing.
And our team has been staring at the flag for the better part of 5 minutes.
Patriotic people. And it is, again, for those of you who would be listening tonight and not catching it on YouTube, it is America Night for the student section of Ottumwa. So a lot of red, white, and blue. I did see some specialty flags out there, and I don't
you
see
them
now.
You mentioned Joe Biden.
Yeah, I don't see them anymore.
All right, so here we go. It sounds like we're getting ready for the anthem. Hopefully, anyway. Because my intro lasts about 2.5 minutes. I may have to just do away with it. No, because I don't want to miss kickoff.
I think we'll have 3 minutes after the...
I don't know. The clock's at 4 minutes and 37 seconds. I mean, this is what happens when you've talked for an hour.
I love it.
So did I. But now we're like, okay, how do we fill these last 4 minutes? Well, we don't know what the timing is for them.
It just means practice for us. We keep adding things to
They need to get us itineraries each and every week wherever we go. Right?
We have flags at 2 different spots, both on the east and the west end.
And here is tonight's Ryan Schmitz Flooring American National Anthem. Well, no, it's not. It is a Kinnick Stadium-style Niall Kinnick announcement, Heisman speech on the big board to our left, which is to the east. No, to the west. I'm facing north. Yeah, that means the west. We're facing north, John. So to our left would be the west.
Is what is being played right now.
I see. Well, there you go. We need to have one of these cool things for the dedication of Bracewell Stadium. Remember when Coach Shea was there and they did the pregame locker room, what it means to be a Greyhound? And Craig, I guess, hasn't put anything together like that.
He does postgame.
Does he?
He does Rigami.
Rigami, right.
So.
But it's not on the board. It's not something that we are privy to in the general public.
Unless you go down to the Bell after a Greyhound win.
How do I do that? I'm always doing the postgame show.
Sometimes we have to sacrifice.
Do you go down there? Is that why you leave early?
Sometimes
so you can go partake in Pogromi?
I'm with you all the way through the close.
All right. I think now it's time for the Ryan Schmitz Flooring America National Anthem.
Does your home present a good image of you winter, spring, summer, and fall? Hi, this is Steve from Ritter's Landscaping Home and Garden Center. If your home is not projecting a positive vibe to passersby, maybe it's time for a facelift. Stop into Ritter's and see what Chris, Ryan, and their crews can do to make your home say, this is a person of style and taste. Colorful spring flowers from Planties designed for your individual likes and style, followed by beautiful, usable summer spaces with patios, pergolas, and water features. Designed with your usage in mind, whether it be entertaining friends and relatives or relaxing private areas for you to reflect and unwind. Fall brings an array of foliage color perfect for watching sporting events or playing them with your own family. Chris can design a concept just for you. Ritter's can also professionally design an outdoor lighting system to highlight your home's unique style and architecture. This creates a drive-by vision that would make any Christmas card envious. Stop in or call and see why people really do say,
wow, it must be by Ritter's.
It's time. The teams are ready. Our team is ready. Burlington Greyhounds football is on the air on KBUR.
Let's get ready to rumble!
This is one heck of a starting lineup.
This is Burlington Greyhounds football. With tonight's game, here's Scott Mason and John Flaherty.
And we're time. We're time. It's time. Burlington Greyhound football on the air. Scott Mason, John Flaherty. Better get to the Zeisers Landscaping. Game time conditions. It's cloudy up here in Ottumwa. 75 degrees, your kickoff temperature. 61% humidity, so make sure you keep an eye on the hydration issues that plague teams early in seasons. Wind out of the south at 6, which means it's at our back, which means It's going across the field from the near sideline to the far sideline. Not that it matters. Both these teams like to run the football. They're not going to throw it a lot. Anyway, Burlington's won the toss. They have chosen to receive. They will go from right to left on your radio dial, which is from east to west up here at Schaefer Stadium. And we're just moments away from getting this thing underway. Week 5 of the Iowa high school football season.
And so it is the Greyhounds set to receive as the Bulldogs will kick to the east end zone. And we are looking at just a setup here in just a few moments, and we will be underway. Walking out to the 50 are the Bulldogs, and getting set to kick off will be
Juan Valdez Garcia, or Juan Valdez Garcia, V-A-L-D-E-S. Either way, Juan is a senior. He's 5'11", 175, and he wears number 55, which would throw anybody off to say, that dude's a kicker?
Well, anymore, with numbers being retired and being put on the shelf, you never know who's going to have to wear a lineman's number to kick. So,
Aiden Pfeiffer and Dimitri Donald back at their own 10-yard line, awaiting the kick from the left footer for the Greyhounds. Both teams 2-1, Bulldogs, Greyhounds, the battle of the doghouse. Whoever loses it is the winner. Whoever wins it is the loser. If you can follow that, the loser of this game gets the doghouse. Hand in the air, and Valdez Garcia with the approach, and we are underway in week 4, and it's going to be a sidewinding kick. Going to be taken by Pfeiffer, the 6, across the 10, up the far hash, 15-20, bringing it near side, and he's going to be hitting spun down just across the 20 at the 21, and that's where the Greyhounds will start this drive, first down and 10.
Unfortunately, already on the opening play, we have a flag on the field, and right around the 20. Generally an indicator of holding, and that's exactly what that's going to be. One of the wingmen for the Greyhounds holding on just a little bit too long. And 10 yards back, and the Greyhounds will start from their own 10-yard line.
Half the distance to the goal. Well, actually, now I take that back. 10-yard penalty from the 21 takes it back to the 11. So as John said, the Greyhounds will start their first drive of the night from the shadow of their own goalpost, 90 yards away from Pater. Each of the first 3 weeks, as we talked about in the pregame show, the Greyhounds have scored on their opening possession. We'll see if they can make it 4 in a row to try and start off on the right foot. Caden Schizel is behind Nolan Simpson as he dots the I of the I formation. Gabe Robinson under center. Turns and hands it to Schizel on the first play of the game. He's taking it off the right side. He's got maybe a yard up to the 12. It'll be second and long.
And again, what we said right at the opening of the show so long ago, is that both of these teams know how to defend this style of offense. And so even though I know Coach Kreckel doesn't mind going a 90-yard drive, you do not want to be too far behind the chains as we get into this game.
Alex Fawcett leaves the huddle late. So run formation once again. Tight offset eye. Turn and give to Schizel again. No, that's Donald. Dimitri Donald off the right side. He tries to get the edge, and he's going to be tripped up across the 15, near the 16. We'll see where they spot it. They're going to give him the 15. That's a gain of 3. It'll be third down and 6.
Brought down on the play by Cameron Mannery, a 5'10", 203-pound sophomore linebacker, and for the stop as the Greyhounds get set for a third and long. Some more personnel changes for the Greyhounds as Fawcett comes back in, along with Derek Duncan.
And check that. That was actually Schizel on that carry. So he's got the first two carries of the night. Tie-dye formation again on third down and 6. Turn to give to Schizel one more time, and he's hit at the line of scrimmage. Spun down, a gain of 1 to the 17, but the Greyhounds will have to kick it away as they face 4th and 5.
Nice job on the play by number 54, a player that we do not have on the roster. And then number 64, Matt Payne, the defensive end, who is 6'2 and 200 pounds as a junior. So good opening series by the defense of Ottumwa as Nolan Simpson gets set to kick it away.
3 Caden Schizel runs for 6 yards, and the Greyhounds have to kick it away. So that streak will stop at 3 of opening drive touchdowns. Simpson back at his own 5 to boot it away to Tanner Shark, who's back in his own territory at the 42. Shark, the quarterback for the Bulldogs, also your punt returner. And a flag blows this play dead. Evidently somebody for the Greyhounds must have jumped. And it is an illegal procedure on Burlington, so they'll take 5 yards off, take it back to the 12-yard line.
You know, when you've only had to punt 4 times all year, it makes it kind of difficult to get into a rhythm. So, and the cheers early on from the student section. I do love being so close to the student section as we go through tonight.
6-yard penalty on that illegal procedure, so it'll be fourth down and a long nine now. Simpson from the goal line, he'll kick it away, end over end punt. Going to hit about midfield and out of bounds on the far sideline. We'll see where they mark it. Far side official walking up the sideline, 46, 45, and that's where he'll stop. So the Bulldogs will start at the Greyhound 45.
Interesting here for the Bulldog offense joining the realm of the new century, holding up their play cards from the sideline so they don't have to run personnel in and out.
Well, and it's like third base coaches now in baseball and softball, they have wristbands and they just say R12 or green 13. Or,
yep.
Yeah. So two to the right side, two wideouts to the right side. Tanner Shark under center. Three if you count the wing back to that side as well. Shark turns and hands it to his fullback. His single setback, first man through. That's number 44. 2-yard line, a gain of three.
Perez Hall and Noah Nixon on the stop for the Greyhounds. And this is not going to change. They're going to just keep punching, and you'll see this all night, ladies and gentlemen. Should be a very physical game.
Same thing, single setback is Derby. Now they will send two to the right again with a wing back to that side. So John would say maybe a trips formation. Derby, your single setback, 5 yards deep. Here's another turn and give. No. Keeper by Shark, who tries to get the corner, pitches it late, gets it, and going down the near sideline into the end zone for the touchdown, a 42-yard touchdown run for number 10, Luke Grave. But there is a flag. Is that what you're pointing at?
Not so fast, my friend, on the 32-yard line. Aiden Pfeiffer was getting held by number 6, William Howard, on the play. And I'm telling you what, if the jerseys weren't so tight, Aiden Pfeiffer would be without a jersey right now. But, Scott, what I really want to bring up is a very nice sequence of the play. They're in the trips formation, and the wingback arcs back away from motion, and they were able to run their speed option that way. So, great design.
So the Greyhounds dodge a bullet on that play, take the 6 off the board. No yardage lost on the penalty as it was a 10-yard walk-off from the 32. It remains second down and 7 from the Greyhound 42. Man in motion again from right to left. Now they give it on a counter play around the near side. And getting the edge is Abaya Salema, who gets to the 33. That's a gain of 9. The leading rusher for the Bulldogs is Salema. And he gets 9 and a first down for Ottumwa.
Scott, nice job by the Bulldogs early to run a lot of different motions and a nice counteraction. The left side of that offensive line for the Bulldogs did a nice job. You're going to be looking at those guys all night, Braden Larkin and Kevin Moreno for the Bulldogs.
Conrad Breiniger, number 7. He's a tall drink of water, 6'4", 245 right there at right tackle. So shotgun. No, under center. I thought that was shotgun. That's just Derby.
Trips again.
Trips to the left side. Shark turns, gives it to Derby right up the gut. He's inside the 30, and he lunges forward to the 28. A gain of 5, a nice pickup on first down.
Already a beginning set of jawing as number 70 for the Bulldogs. That's your drink of water, Conrad Breiniger, and Nolan Simpson deciding to have some words post-play. Breiniger's teammates thought better of it to pull him away. Nice job by Simpson just to stand there and not do anything.
So gain of 4 officially as they spot it at the 29. It'll be 2nd and 6. Shark again turns and hands it to Derby. Off tackle right side and just squares his shoulders up. Gets down to the 20-yard line before he's tripped up. And Ottumwa has entered the Matt Rinker State Farm Rocket Mortgage red zone after that gain of 9.
Touchdown saving tackle by Nolan Simpson. Just getting a taste of their own medicine right now. We got to find a way to adjust here. A lot of good veer blocking. Double team on either the nose on the end, which leaves a single back block by either the running back or the guard that's going to pull.
So first down and 10, ball resting just inside the 20. The nose of the football is on the inside. The other nose is on the outside. Shark barks out the signals. Give to Derby. No, fake to Derby. Keeper by Shark gets the edge, but there's a flag on the play as he's run out of bounds at about the 8-yard line. We'll see what the penalty is. Thrown by the umpire, my guess is a hold.
No, I'm going to say chop block, Scout. That's usually in the area. And it looked like their center went after Julian Perez Hall with a chop block, and then that play side guard came down and kind of high-load all that.
So take a 12-yard gain off the books. It would have given them first down and goal inside the 10. Instead, it works out to be about a 12-yard penalty and push it, making it a 15-yard penalty. Chop blocks are 15, takes it all the way out beyond the 35 to the 37. So first down and 27 to go. Now for a tumble, Burlington's got to take advantage of this. They've gotten gashed on a couple of plays. Now they get a break. We got to see what the Greyhounds can do to right the ship defensively. Shark. Salema in motion. Give to Derby. Evades one tackler, gets hit right at the line of scrimmage, and spins down to the 35-yard line, a gain of two. Be second down and 25.
Nice trap play by the Bulldogs. Nice job on the defensive front. Got some new replacements. Got Deshaun Kennard along with Gunnar Short and Brayton Dixon checking in. They're going to go to an even man front, Scott. They're going to move out of their traditional three-man look and get into a four-man. Probably going to slide into the gaps and let Nolan Simpson kind of roam free and Owen Baker to kind of see what happens. But got to play assignment football. Someone's got to take care of dive, and someone's got to take care of quarterback and then take care of pitch.
So second down and 25. Wide receivers split one on either side.
Yes, sir.
With wingbacks, and now a timeout going to be taken by Tumwa as the play clock was approaching zero. So for the first time tonight, with 5:58 remaining, just over halfway through quarter number one, we'll step away. They want a minute, we'll take half that. 30-second timeout, no score, but a tumble on the move on KBUR.
Now is the time to finish all of your painting projects. Hi, this is Nick with Diamond Vogel Paints. Whether you are a contractor trying to finish your projects before winter sets in, or a homeowner reviving your interior spaces before the holidays, Diamond Vogel has everything that you're looking for in a paint supplier. Ease of application, performance and durability, perfect color, and exceptional service. Stop in for our fall decorating event going on now, Diamond Vogel, the miracle of paint, located at 3200 Division Street, Burlington.
Back here at Schaefer Stadium, Tom Kopetich Field. Want to give a shout out to my Uncle Chris, who is listening in Texas.
Football. In Texas, football, Iowa,
well,
same thing.
He's a huge football fan. He is the son of my grandpa, who I talk about a lot. My mom's brother. But he's listening down in Texas. And you'll have to text me, Chris, what town it is in Texas.
Get on YouTube, Chris.
He is very, very, he tunes in a lot to listen to us. I think it's because he loves me. I think that's what it is.
Might be paid.
Second and 25. He is a paid actor. You're absolutely right. And there's another flag before the play can
procedure.
Get started. That's going to be a procedure penalty. Take it back to the 40-yard line.
Scott, what this kind of gets me to thinking is that we didn't see a lot of this on film in any of the three games. So obviously these are new wrinkles that they're putting in. And so when you have new wrinkles, that tells me that there's not a whole lot of confidence in the base offense. So if we can withstand kind of this early gut punch, you know, that bodes well for us.
How do you have 27 yards when you've moved it 5 yards forward? You have 22 yards of penalties. Second down and 30. Otomo has to get to the 10, and they jumped again but got away with it. Now there's a flag. Pitch to Salema around the right side. He's back inside the 35, but a flag was thrown. Another chop block going to be called on Otomo. So Otomo is doing the work for Burlington in terms of moving the football for the Greyhounds. Another personal foul is going to take it back into Bulldog territory, all the way back to their own 45.
So here's what I'm telling you, everybody, so that you can understand. 52, the center, Braden Larkin, is crawling, hands and knees, getting his shoulder pads into the thighs or the knees of the nose tackle, whoever that might be, Phil Phillips. Now it's Braden Dixon. And then the guards will come in up over the top to try to wash that out into that beer offense, and you just can't do that.
When was the last time you heard second and 45?
And you know that everybody's got a play that goes second and 45.
Shark barks out the signals, gives it to Derby right up the middle. That's not Derby. That is Cameron Minari. The Minaris back into Burlington territory up to the 36, maybe the 35. That's going to be a pickup of 20, so he got half that yardage back.
You know, it's fun to listen to the crowd get excited to get ready for third and 30.
You know, think that's Manary or Manary?
I'm going to go
like
Manary.
Canary?
I'm going to go Manary.
Manary?
Yeah.
All right.
So.
I like Manary, like Canary.
You spelled say that potato, way. I say potato.
You say tomato, I say tomato.
Let's call the whole thing off. Long time late adjustments here by the Bulldogs. I don't know if they'll make the play clock here. Will they have to burn their second time out of the half?
Play clock at 2. Third down and 25 from the 35. Shark going to throw. Rolls left, directing traffic. Wants to throw. Flushed out of the pocket instead of a run out of bounds just short of the 25. He'll get about 8, it would appear. Nope, they'll give him 7 to the 28-yard line. So it'll be fourth down and 18.
That's a win for the defense. I know a lot of people, if you're watching, that would want them to come attack the quarterback, but you cannot give that up, especially when you're in this negative situation for the Bulldogs. You got to make them try to find a 15, 17-yard play here on fourth down.
McKinney, Texas. McKinney.
Let's go. Great town, McKinney, Texas.
Might be the farthest we've heard anybody in the continental United States listening. I've had people reach out from Japan.
Awesome.
So fourth down and 17 from the 27. Shark going to throw. Throws near side. Overshadows receiver. That was Suleiman. It falls incomplete. So the Greyhounds, thanks to probably 35 yards in penalties, able to hold and thwart this drive that had gotten as far down to the 8-yard line before a penalty took that run off the table. So the Greyhounds defense holds, and they will take over with 4:46 remaining in the first quarter.
This is probably the most passes offensively in the four games that. So now, can we respond offensively and move the ball down the field?
First and 10 at the 27-yard line. I formation once again. Now Dimitri Donald in at tailback. He'll dot the I behind Simpson. Turn and give to Simpson. Nothing doing. Got maybe a yard. Ball on the ground, I think. But I think Simpson fell on it. He does. He has it. Gain of 1, I think. Might be simultaneous possession.
Always an offensive win.
We actually give him 2 up to the 29. So Simpson gains 2 on his first carry of the night. Right now, anything between the tackles is being met with tremendous resistance by the front four.
Well, you know, again, this is a four-man front, and the two guys inside are pretty, pretty stout guys. Got number 75, Demetrius Renteria Spoon, and we'll get the other player in a second.
Robinson with the fake to Simpson. He'll keep it off the left side. He's got the 35, 40, 45, 50 in the Atoma territory. Straight arm, run out of bounds at about the 35, call it the 36. So it's going to be 21 plus 14. That's a 35-yard run for the quarterback, Gabe Robinson, and an initial Greyhound.
First down.
There you go.
Like
that's
said,
my PA announcer right there.
Yeah.
Baby.
So, you know, we talked about Demetrius Renteria Spoon, but you also have Brenton Jensen. 6 foot 290 as a senior, and Renteria Spoon is a 6'3", 275-pound junior. So these are the biggest guys that the Greyhounds have faced in the middle all year long.
First down and 10 from the 36-yard line. Tie-dye formation again. Fake to Simpson. Again, a keeper by Robinson. This time, Atumwa able to bottle him up. He gets 1 to the 35.
Yeah, and you know, it looked a little bit like there was a misread by either the back or the quarterback because there was a nice trap lane there. But Gabe, I think, was looking for Dimitri or Nolan to get the ball to, but there was nobody there, so he had to take him himself. And again, 2 yard gains are good. You get 2 to 3 yard gains, you should be in great shape.
I call it a long one. Ball resting just inside the 35. Inside of 4 minutes remaining, first quarter, no score. Both teams have had it once. Burlington now on its second possession. Robinson under center. Turns. Play action fake. He's going to throw deep down the right hash. He's got a man. That's Fawcett inside the 10. Down near the goal line before he's finally run down and dropped at about the 2. That's a pitch and catch. of 33 yards in the grounds for the first time tonight. Enter the Matt Rinker State Farm Rocket Mortgage Red Zone.
Really a great job by the offensive line. Sold that off tackle to the left side. Adam steps down like he's just going to follow backside blocking rules. Adam Alex.
We give Adam way too much credit for a guy who played 30 years ago.
But he was a good player, so I'm going to give him credit.
Well, that's what we think. We really don't know
that. I was there.
Ask him. He'll tell you he was good.
I got the video. It was good.
All right, first and goal at the 2. Tied eye, now actually offset eye this time. Robinson turns and hands it to Donald. He follows Simpson into the end zone. Yes,
there
touchdown, Graham.
Shoot that cannon, National. Oh, no, sorry.
Wrong team.
That's National National Guard cannon that went off. And so we'll just go ahead and imagine Tom Buckman firing a shot out. Great job on the right side of that offensive line. That's John Shulka and Gunnar Short along with Alex Fawcett leading the way along with Nolan Simpson in their bid formation. Pounding out 2 yards and a touchdown for Dimitri Donnell as we get set up for the extra point.
Christian Snyder in to try the extra point off the hold of Gabe Robinson. Everything is good. 3:10 remaining first quarter. The grounds break out on top. They go. 60 yards. Can't remember. I didn't start. 62 yards, I'll say. I think it maybe 63. I don't know. They start somewhere on their side of the field. They went a long way. 2-yard touchdown run. Dimitri Donald back in 1 minute on KBUR.
Time to head to the Broadway Bar and Grill in West Burlington for your favorite food and drink during football season. Each Saturday and Sunday, enjoy specials on pizza and appetizers, including wings, loaded nachos, potato skins, and samplers. Weekly drink specials include beer buckets and Bloody Mary specials all day. It's football season, and your place to be for all the big college and pro games is at the Broadway Bar and Grill in downtown West Burlington. Check them out on Facebook for their weekly specials.
Back here at Schaefer Stadium where the grounds break out on top on a strength, on the strength of a 2-yard touchdown run by Dimitri Donald, and it's 7-0 with 3:10 remaining here in quarter number one. And the Greyhounds, as they have done in each and every game this year, score first. Strike first.
Well, Eric Kreckel strikes again, you know.
Eric Kreckel. 1 for 1 for 33.
That's where your Costanza, all that stuff. Anybody remember Seinfeld Show?
Yes.
You had a good joke. Take your goodbyes and get off the field. So, actually, no.
Well, Jerkster called, and they're running out of you. Yeah? So what? You were their biggest seller. I just saw that episode last week when I was on COVID quarantine. So Brennan Winkie in to kick it away for the Greyhounds. We'll tell you who's going to receive it here in just a second. I'm going to say one of them is Salema, and he's going to take it. At about his own 14, he drops it, picks it up, going far side. That's not Salema. We'll tell you who it is in a second. 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, reverses field, comes from the far sideline in toward the near hash, and that was actually William Howard, a senior 5'11", 155 wide receiver slash cornerback on a nice return of about 28, 29 yards.
Those are always so scary, Scott. The ball hits the ground. And everybody kind of freezes and goes like, yeah, and then all of a sudden coverage breaks down and you get a return like that. So defense has got to be up against it now, try to get them a 3-and-out, get the ball back for the Greyhounds.
So first down and 10 for the Bulldogs from their own 45, now trailing 7-0. Trips to the right side. You say trips, I say it's dual wideouts with a wing back. That's not trips, Shark. Wanted to pitch, instead tucks it, gets the corner, comes near side, and he's finally going to be run down by Fawcett at the Greyhound 39, but that is a pickup of 16 yards and a chain mover for Atumwa.
As the Greyhounds are playing this cover one defense, this man defense, when that second slot arcs back as a pitch back, we have one of our defenders, and that's either going to be Caden Shizzle or it's going to be Aiden Pfeiffer who's going to have to go with that, which creates a lane all by itself. So I think they found a play that they're really going to use quite a bit the rest of the night, Scott.
From the Greyhound 39, first down for Atumwa. Turn and handoff to the tailback, and that is Cameron Mannery. I'll go with your pronunciation. He's got 4 to the 35.
Confirmed by the PA announcer.
Mannery?
Yep. So here we go. You know, we talked about chop blocks. And they're not trying to be dirty. A cut block in high school football is legal, and it's done within the box, and they're not trying to hurt anybody. but it is a dangerous walk as we see Philip Phillips coming off the field, because that's in fact what happened. He was playing nose. Center goes ahead and cuts him, and it just puts a lot of pressure, and so you got to be alert how to defend that. So I'm sure Coach Hesshoy is going to spend some time talking with his D-line about putting hands on helmets and shoulder pads and sprawling your legs in order to make sure that you don't get injured.
Wide out to the left side is Howard. Single setback is Mannery behind the quarterback, Shark. Second down and six from the 35. Shark fakes it to Mannery. He's going to sprint it around the right side. Pitches it to Salema, and he's hit out of bounds. Short of the 30. Going to spot it about the 32. That's a pickup of three. It'll be third down, along three to go.
Dimitri Donald with the authoritative tackle on the sideline there.
So big play for the ground. Defense coming up as we go inside of 2 minutes remaining here in the opening stanza. Third down and three, Greyhounds defense trying to keep the momentum that was established by the offense a drive ago.
Some good news for the Greyhound defense, finally making his triumphant entry into the game for the first time this season. Senior Caleb Zog playing this left defensive end.
Chips to the left side. Shark gives it to Mannery. He kept it. Pitched it to Salema around the left side. He gets the corner, turns upfield, and he's gets yardage down inside the 20 to the 19. That's a gain of 13 yards and a tumble back into the Matt Rinker State Farm Rocket Mortgage Red Zone.
Great job of faking and a great job by Shark to hold that ball for as long as he could and then hit to the edge. You're playing cover zero. Those corners are taken off because they got to play on those wide receivers that has to leave the safeties, Derek Watson and Alex Fawcett, to come fill those lanes. Sizzle now in for, no, there's Alex. I thought that was Chisel. Maybe kind of step back.
Shark on first down. Turns, gives it to Mannery, and Mannery hitting the hole. Evades a tackle, gets out of an arm tackle, and takes it into the end zone. Runs up outside the far left hash, 19 yards, and it's 7-6.
Very nice job by Mannery. Refuses to go down, does a nice job of spinning out of tackles, and then just accelerating in to beat the oncoming Derek Watson.
Well, that was a all effort by Mannery because he was hit at the line of scrimmage and ran right out of an arm tackle and was able to find some space in the second level and get a tumble within one. And to try the extra point is Juan Valdez-Garcia, and his kick is up and good. 1:31 remaining here in quarter number one. We'll step away for 1 minute. We're tied at 7. Greyhound football on KBOR.
For over 30 years, Courtesy Door's reputation has been built by the quality of their products and the satisfaction of their customers. Garage doors, openers, or parts, Courtesy Door has what you need. They offer residential and commercial products from Rainer and Clopay, also specializing in large-scale agricultural and commercial doors. To schedule a service call, get a quote, or learn more about the area's favorite door company, go to CourtesyDoor.com or stop by at 2231 James Avenue in Mount Pleasant.
There are fun activities for the entire family at the Des Moines County Historical Society. Let your kids' imaginations soar with three floors of exciting exhibits that tell stories of events that happened right here in Burlington and Des Moines County. Tour the Garrett Phelps House on Snake Alley or the Log Cabin in Crapo Park. The Heritage Museum is open Tuesday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. and Saturday from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Go to dmchs.org or like Des Moines County Historical Society's Facebook page to see their special events.
Owen Baker, Dimitri Donald back to receive the kickoff by Valdez Garcia to get us back underway. Final minute and a half of the first quarter. We're tied at 7 after the 19-yard touchdown run by Cameron Mannery. We're back underway. Going to be taken by Baker on the far side right at the 10-yard line. He's going to reverse field. Now cuts it back, zigzagging his way up the far side. He's got a nice return of about 16 yards up to the 26. That's where the Greyhounds start this drive, their third of the night.
Yeah, Scott, this is going to probably turn out to be a game of who has the ball last. You know, usually those are those shootouts that go up into the 40s and 50s. This might be a 14-7, 21-14 game. But it's still going to be who has the ball last and who can control the clock.
So first down and 10 Greyhounds from their own 26. finding themselves in a dogfight.
Oh.
Here's a keeper by Robinson. Took the one step back. Now he goes forward. He's got one, maybe, up to the 27. Maybe the 28 if they say they spun him down that far. No, they give him the 27. So just a gain of one on first down. So far, for the most part, tough sledding for the Greyhounds. 47 yards on eight carries, but 35 came on one carry by Gabe Robinson.
Yeah, and, you know, this is a, you know, I did not get a sense of this physicality from the Bulldogs in any of the video I've seen so far this year. So my hat's off to them right now.
Robinson going to throw again. Lofting it for Fawcett. Fawcett has it in Bulldog territory. What a wonderful pitch and catch by Gabe Robinson to Alex Fawcett, who had to dive to make the catch, and he takes it from the 27 to the 44. That's 23 plus 6. That's a 29-yard completion.
Man, a tremendous job by Alex reaching over the opposite shoulder. Covered well. Just put in a great place by Gabe Robinson. First down for the Greyhounds. Let's keep this thing moving.
Final 30 seconds of the first quarter. First down at 10 from the Bulldog 44. I formation set. Here's a pitch to Caden Schizel trying to get around the corner. Right side, can't. Got hit behind the line of scrimmage and dropped for a loss. Back to the 45.
Nice pursuit by the Bulldog defense. I got to tell you, those big guys can move up front. That's number 56 for the Bulldogs. That's Dylan Forney, as he's been able to track that down and then allowed the linebacker number 44, Cooper Derby, to be able to finish up and close out the play there. So as we get down to the end of the first quarter.
And that will do it for the first quarter. Both teams score a touchdown. Dimitri Donald, a two-yard touchdown run for the Greyhounds. Cameron Mannery, a 19-yard run for the equalizer for Ottumwa. We put 12 in the books. 36 to go. Don't go anywhere. Burlington and Ottumwa to start quarter number two. Right back here in 1 minute on KBUR.
There are fun activities for the entire family at the Des Moines County Historical Society. Let your kids' imaginations soar with three floors of exciting exhibits that tell stories of events that happened right here in Burlington and Des Moines County. Tour the Garrett Phelps House on Snake Alley or the Log Cabin in Crapo Park. The Heritage Museum is open Tuesday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. and Saturday from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Go to dmchs.org or like Des Moines County Historical Society's Facebook page to see their special events. There are fun activities for the entire family at the Des Moines County Historical Society. Let your kids' imaginations soar with three floors of exciting exhibits that tell stories of events that happened right here in Burlington and Des Moines County. Tour the Garrett Phelps House on Snake Alley or the Log Cabin in Crapo Park. The Heritage Museum is open Tuesday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. and Saturday from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Go to dmchs.org or like Des Moines County Historical Society's Facebook page to see their special events.
Pretty even offensively. 108 yards of offense for Burlington in the first quarter, 110 for Ottumwa. The aberration is 62 through the air for the Greyhounds in the opening 12 minutes. Second down and nine as Robinson will turn a hand it to Simpson, who gets to the second level, still on his feet, pulling a defender with him down to the 32-yard line. That is a pickup of 13 yards and a first down for the Greyhounds.
Great job by Nolan being able to just kind of play the opposite version of what the Bulldogs have with a Cooper Derby for the Bulldogs, and just being
summer
able
vacation
to
vacation for your kiddos is coming
be able to muscle his way into the Bulldog defense and get a first down.
First down at 10 at the Bulldog 32-yard line. Robinson turns and hands it this time to Noah Nixon, who gets hit, spins, and lunges forward to the 27. That's a gain of five, a nice pickup on first down.
Nice job by the up front again. You know, we've said this every week. And again, you look at some big guys, but these guys don't look like they're as fit as they could be. And our guys who play a lot both ways might be beginning to wear this inside front down a little bit.
Second down and five now from the Bulldog 27. Tight formation. Phillips, your wing back to the left side. Your tight end, that side is Fawcett. Keep an eye on him. Here's Robinson with a fake. Plants his foot, turns it upfield. Hit at the line of scrimmage, but able to fall forward to the 23-yard line. Another gain of four. It'll be third down very short.
Great job on the offensive part for Gabe to hold on for as long as he can. before he has to pull that ball. And a nice job of following his down block of his tackles. And now we get in a situation where this is where the no play comes into play so well for the Greyhounds. Get guys going on a quick count, and all of a sudden all you got to do is go no play, get yourself five easy yards.
Owen Baker replaces Phillips in the formation, 10:20 remaining in the first half. There it was. You're like Kreskin right there. That's a five-yard penalty as two defensive linemen jumped, and that'll take Burlington into the Matt Rinker State Farm Rocket Mortgage red zone.
Yeah, it's just too easy. It is a first down. And then it's a no play, and it is. I'm gonna put it right up there with the shift back in 2015.
So a chain mover on the penalty for the Greyhounds will bring up first and 10 at the Bulldog 18. Shizzle back in at tailback. Offset formation with Simpson at fullback, left side. Here's a pitch to Shizzle.
Get inside.
Trying to follow Simpson around the corner. Plants his foot, turns upfield to the 15, to the 10. And he's dropped right about the 10-yard line after a pickup of 8.
Man, nice job of being patient and following your blocks, Phillip Phillips. The unsung hero of this team, to me, being able to fit into so many different places, does a nice job of leading the play, and then Shizzle waiting on his turn to get up in there and get the yardage needed.
So second down and 2 from the Bulldog 10. Prime scoring opportunity for the Greyhounds. Robinson, pissed to Shizzle. Now he's going to come around the right side. Gets a block, turns upfield. Inside the 10, going to be near the first down marker. We'll see where they spot him. The far side official has him at the 9. And that's where they're going to put it. So he'll be a yard short. It'll be third down and 1.
Now, you will not see no play here. This is too close of a deal. The one upside here, Scott, is the way our special teams have worked. I would not be surprised if you see a field goal attempt if we don't get a first down.
Going to cuddle with you. Third down and 1 from the 9. Robinson under center. Donald about 7 yards deep. Turn to give to Simpson. Just takes it right up the gut, and he's got about the 7, it looks like. A gain of the 1 plus maybe 1 or 2 more. Nice. We'll give him the 7, so a gain of 2. First down, a goal for the Greyhound.
Nice job lined up into that heavy left formation. Just ran the fullback trap back to the right. The only concern I have right now is because Nolan's playing so hard, and he's always striving for that extra yards. It's sometimes he takes that offhand off the ball, and someone's probably going to be looking to tell their kids to start punching and then try to get that ball knocked loose.
Now the traditional I formation, Donald, tail the tandem behind Simpson. Robinson turns, fakes it to Simpson. He'll keep it, try and get around the corner right side. Can't quite do it, but he does get inside the 5. And they're going to give him the 4, it would look like, so a gain of 3.
Nice job. I think they might want to try to run to the field on this next play, getting things set up. Try to let Dimitri use his speed and run to the corner. But still a nice job up front by the Greyhounds.
So second down and goal at the 4. 8 minutes or so remaining. 8:09, the clock has stopped because Robinson went out of bounds. Gabe, turn, play action fake. Wants to throw, instead he tucks it, run, and he's going to get sacked back outside the 5, back to the original line of scrimmage at the 7. Called a loss of 3 on the sack.
This could be a big loss here. For the Bulldogs, you got one of their big interior linemen down. I don't know what the number is right away. And it looked like Owen Baker was open early, but I just don't think Gabe was able to see the corner. And does a nice job, as a quarterback's supposed to do, get north and south. Don't start running sideways. And get as many yards as you can down here in the red zone.
So while there's an injury timeout on the field, we'll step away. 8 minutes even remaining here in the first half. We're tied at 7. The Greyhounds will have a third down and goal from the 7. When we come back, we'll tell you who's hurt as well. After this timeout, back in 60 seconds on KBUR.
Your child got hurt in the last game, and you're worried. Is it just a bruise or something more serious? Find out at the Saturday Morning Sports Medicine Clinic at Orthopedics Southeast Iowa Regional Medical Center in West Burlington. No appointments, just answers.
Orthopedic providers evaluate injured athletes who must be accompanied by a parent or guardian. Bring your insurance card to the Saturday Morning Sports Medicine Clinic at Orthopedics, Southeast Iowa Regional Medical Center, 8 to 9 a.m. every week during the fall sports season.
Here at Pizza Ranch, we'd like to thank our Swedish friends for bringing the buffet to America. They called it the smorgasbord, but it was a success anyway. So we started our own buffet and loaded it up with pizza, chicken, sides, salads, and cactus bread. And you can even request any pizza you want anytime you visit. We call it Buffet Your Way, because smorgasbord your way, well, that doesn't rhyme at all. Pizza Ranch. Mmm.
Come to Pizza Ranch in Burlington for their lunch and dinner buffet. For delivery or to go, call 754-5555.
Back here at Schaefer Stadium. And Brenton Jensen is on his feet, but not able to put any weight on an elevated left leg, as the training staff and a couple of coaches help him off. He does go 6 foot 290. So he's a big, big drink of water and needing some help to get off the field.
And it's always tough to see as a senior having come off the field that way. And that's going to be a big blow to the inside of the Ottumwa defense, because, you know, they lose some size and some experience in that. They now have to put in number 65, Kendall Jones, 6 foot, 225 pound.
Third and goal from the 7, and Nolan Simpson jumped. So it'll be third and goal now from the 12. Simpson got a little antsy. Once he put his hand on the ground, he can't move.
And it's hard to say keep moving because you already got one guy in motion, so it wasn't going to help.
And they can't do that. So
I believe that's written in the rules somewhere.
I believe so. You have to chant that either when that happens in football and when there's a foul called, or a violation in basketball.
I mean, that's just a standard student section chant.
So third down and goal from the 12. Robinson, fake to Simpson, rolls left. Wants to follow Simpson, late pitch to Donald, who can't turn upfield. In fact, he's going to gain maybe 2. I thought he was going to lose yardage, but he gained 2 yards back to the 10. So it'll be fourth and goal at the 10, and we'll see what Jim Krekel wants to do. He's going to send in John Flaherty. We'll see what Jim Krekel wants to do, and he sends in the field goal unit.
Yep, he's sending in Brennan Winkie here to line it up, or is it Christian?
No, that's Winkie, the left footer from the left hash, which would make sense. Instead of having a slice, if you will, or a little bit of a push, it's going to be the draw.
How nice
the left
to have
footer.
A bullpen to be able to do that. Bring in the righty, bring in the lefty.
Be a 25-yard attempt from the left hash. Spot is good, but the kick is blocked, and it's knocked down behind the line of scrimmage, so it can be returned, and Winkie able to take the ball carrier down, and he lost the football. And it looks like Ottumwa comes up with it at the 25-yard line. So the 25-yard attempt is blocked, and so we remain tied at 7 apiece.
So the Bulldog defense staves off a very strong pressure by the Greyhound offense, and now the defense has to find a way to respond and get the ball back for the Greyhounds.
First down and 10 for Ottumwa from their own 25 after the blocked field goal. We'll see what they do on this drive. Tie ball game, 7 apiece. 2-yard touchdown run by Dimitri Donald with 3:10 remaining in the first quarter. A minute and a half later, it was Cameron Mannery from 19 yards out. Here's Shark on a pitch to the wingback. Gets her on the right side. Fumble the football. Fumble the football. Who fell on it? And it's going to be Burlington football as they take advantage of the first turnover of the night at the 28-yard line. That was Luke Grave, who tried to get the corner around the right side, had the ball dislodged, and the Greyhounds take over at the 28-yard line.
Great job by Aiden Pfeiffer to recover the ball. I believe that was knocked out by Derek Watson on that play as he was coming in from the safety spot to make the tackle. So they love that trips option play, Scott, and I think Coach Webb has found a way to defend it. And now we've got to find a good way to get points on the board to respond here. Get this.
Well, you talked about it, that they hadn't put these plays on tape yet. That's Graves' first carry of the year.
Yep.
So first down and 10 at the Ottumwa 28-yard line. Grounds need to get points. 6.5 minutes remaining, first half. Robinson, play action fake, rolls right, throws right,
has a man. It's Nixon at the 20. Turns up field. Puts a stiff arm into somebody and falls forward to about the 12-yard line. That's a gain of 17. And the Greyhounds enter the Matt Rinker State Farm Rocket Mortgage Red Zone.
You know, I'm making a lot of fun of the Eric Kreckle show right now. But what a great addition to the offense. When you didn't think he wanted to pass or you didn't think they knew how to pass, Gabe Robinson and those tight ends and wingbacks have done a great job of getting crucial yards when it's needed.
3 for 3 for 78 yards tonight for the quarterback from Burlington, the junior signal caller. Now play action fake, and he's rolling left. He's got a wide open waltz into the end zone if he can get to the corner, and he does. Gabe Robinson from 12 yards out, touchdown. Greyhounds on the naked bootleg to the left side.
Man, they had power set up to the right side, and when he booted out, there was nobody within 25 yards, and it was just a race to the end. Nice job there by, who was it? That was Derek Duncan on just getting in away enough so that he couldn't be tackled short of the end zone.
So the Greyhounds take the lead back at 13-0, or 13-7, I should say. Winky in to try the extra point to try and redeem himself. Snap is bad, but pulled down by Robinson, and somehow, some way, Winky able to get it through the uprights. So with 5:57 remaining in the first half, it's now Burlington 14, Ottumwa 7, back in 1 minute on KBUR.
Here at Swedish friends for bringing the buffet to America. They called it the smorgasbord, but it was a success anyway. So we started our own buffet and loaded it up with pizza, chicken, sides, salads, and cactus bread. And you can even request any pizza you want anytime you visit. We call it Buffet Your Way, because smorgasbord your way, well, that doesn't rhyme at all. Pizza Ranch. Mmm.
Come to Pizza Ranch in Burlington for their lunch and dinner buffet. For delivery or to go, call 754-5555.
Here at Pizza Ranch, we have a PhD in chickenology. We know why the chicken crossed the road. And we know what part of the chicken tenders come from. The delicious part. So it should be no surprise that we've engineered the country's best, juiciest, all-white, meatiest chicken tenders. Now available for carryout and delivery in 5, 8, and 12-piece boxes. Served with our new chicken dipper sauce. Pizza Ranch. We know chicken.
Come to Pizza Ranch in Burlington for their lunch and dinner buffet. For delivery or to go, call 754-5555.
Pizza Ranch. Mmm.
Christian Sider ready to get his back underway, and he does as the ball is in the air. 14-7, Greyhounds on top. Going to be taken and dropped at the 15. Bringing it near side and finding a gap up the near hash. And getting yardage out beyond the 40. 45 just short of midfield before he's hog-tied and brought down. I believe it's number 9. And if so, that's Ryan McKinnon on the return all the way out to the 48-yard line. And I want to say the execution by Gabe Robinson of the high snap, pulling it down, and Brennan Winky able to adjust on his approach to get enough leg into it, split the uprights. You know, in a game like this, 1 point could be a huge, huge difference maker. That was a huge extra point right there to go up 14-7.
Very much so, and I got a little bit more to add to this after this play, Scott.
So first down to 10 from the Bulldog 48-yard line. Sharp turns and hands it to Manor. He puts it on the ball, puts it on the ground rather again, and falls on the ball at the line of scrimmage. No gain.
So Scott, you know, we talked about making believers of the offense. This has been a long time coming for a lot of these guys who like catching passes, and that we've been pounding, hardly pass, and now you find a defense that's kind of stout to stop us. And now they're, you can see the belief in the pass game system that Coach Kreckle's developed in this offense.
Second down and 10 from their own 48. Ottumwa on offense. Man in motion. Now Salema coming near side. Tries to get up upfield and turn the corner. Can't do it. Tackled by the back of his shirt by Caden Shizzle at the line of scrimmage. Again, no gain. It'll be third and 10. And now one of the other big uglies for Ottumwa is a little gimpy as he goes back to the huddle.
Yeah, that's number 70 for the Bulldogs. That's Conrad Bringer, the 6'4", 245-pound senior tackle. Already wearing double knee braces, so that's going to limit his movement.
And I want to apologize. I am not sharp tonight. I am stumbling over my tongue left and right. Up one side, down the other, as they say. So third down, a long 10, short 11. And a fumble. Ball on the ground again. Who's got it? Ball on the ground. Who's got it? I thought Burlington might have jumped. They got away with it. And they're going to say Atoma falls on the football at the 46. So a loss of one. I didn't see who came up with it.
That was Kevin Moreno, the 6'2", 260-pound senior guard. And Scott, really all that's happening is we're seeing guys who are trying to press a little bit because they're down. And that mesh is so important from the quarterback to the center, center to the lead back. You got to be able to be in there tight.
So Salema to punt it away, rugby style kick off his right foot, and it goes out of bounds on the far side. No, it stays in bounds. Continues to take a bit of an Atoma roll. One of those bounce right, bounce left, bounce right, then bounce forward to the 30. So the Greyhounds will start first down at 10 at their own 30, leading 14-7 with 4:02 remaining. Here in the second quarter, Atoma will get the football to start the third quarter, so this will become a very important drive to at least either put points on the board or run out the clock and not give Atoma a chance to bookend halves.
Now, I've got to tell you, the Bulldogs are running up against some tough stuff. We saw Salema walking off the field with a limp, too, getting a look at by the trainer. Number 61 checks in for the Bulldogs. That's Gale Botrus, a 5'9", 205 senior pound defensive tackle.
Dimitri Donald, the tail of the tandem behind Simpson. He'll get it on first down. Takes it off the left side. 35-40. Squares up his shoulders. Bulls through a defender in the secondary. Across the 45 to the 46. That's a gain of 16. And that was speed combined with power for the slender junior tailback for Burlington.
I mean, you see some of that explosiveness that you saw last year with Bryant, and so you can see where they like to get him some touches. So we got some shifting around as Nolan Simpson's going to take a play off. Phil Phillips needs a bit of a breather, so Noah Nixon moves into the fullback spot. Derek Duncan moves into the tight end, and Alex Fawcett slides into the other side as the tight end, as Owen Baker comes in as the wingback.
Tell a story about Dimitri Donald here in a few minutes. First and 10 from the 46. Robinson going to roll right on the play action. Throws, has a wide open Fawcett in Bulldog territory. 45-40, and he's going to be tackled by his shoe tops at the 34. That's a gain of 20 yards. It'll be first down one more time for the Greyhounds. And Robinson now 4 of 4 for 98 yards.
This may be our first 100-yard passer
in a long time. I'll find that out at halftime.
But I got to tell you, this Atoma defense has got to be going, what in the world is going on?
Hey, we didn't put anything on tape either. Neither did. So what's good for one is good for the other. First down and 10 at the 34. Donald off the left side. That's a nice 5, maybe 6 to the 30. Actually make that a 4-yard gain. My math is hard. I say that at least once a night. And really only a gain of 3 as they give him the 31, so it'll be 2nd and 7.
Man, I just got to tell you, we are just throwing some solid punches into the heart of this Atoma defense, and it is causing them to take a step back here, and this passing game has really caught them by surprise. So it's going to slow down your linebacker play because we're hitting all of our tight ends underneath instead of running deep.
2nd down and 6. Robinson going to throw again. He's got Fawcett again wide open at the 10. Makes the catch. Waltzes into the end zone. Touchdown, Greyhounds.
Now,
Judas Priest. Fuck, Scott.
I have to say that I had some fun this week walking the dog late afternoon as the guys were out for P.E., and this is exactly what they were doing during P.E. class. They were playing one-on-one against their teammates, and Gabe was having a blast out in PE throwing these bombs. So great job, great call by the offense here as the Greyhounds get set to get another point on the board.
Christian Snyder going to try the extra point, make it 21-7. His kick is up.
Ooh.
And good. 2:35 remaining first half. Greyhounds now on top by 2 scores. It's 21-7. Back in 1 minute on KBUR.
Is your business growing?
I can't talk.
Acquiring expansion? Or additions? Are you looking to purchase investment real estate? If the answer is yes, I'd like to speak with you. I'm Max Mercer, commercial loan officer at Danville State Savings Bank. If you want to partner in banking, call me today to schedule a meeting. At Danville State Savings Bank, we're ready when you are. Offices in Danville, New London, and online at danvillebank.com. Member FDIC.
At Pilot Grove Savings Bank, we believe every house and farm in Southeast Iowa tells a story. If walls could talk, they would tell of the memories made within them. Do you have a goal of finding a new home? Every farm paints a picture. Do you see your family there? Our loan officers are available in 4 counties to listen to your financial goals. We want to help you have a happy ever after in the storybook of your dreams. We're Pilot Grove Savings Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Gabe Robinson, 5 for 5, 129 yards and a touchdown. 4 of those catches for a buck 13 for Alex Fawcett, and it's 21-7 in favor of the Greyhounds. Winky has it on the tee, and we're about ready to go again. 2:35 remaining in the first half, and the Greyhounds lead by 14. Winky with the approach, a knuckleball going to be taken on a hop at the 30 and brought up across the 35, just short of the 40 by one of the upbacks for Atumwa. That's 35. That's not 35. 45. That's Braylon Griffiths on the return. So Atumwa begins this drive at their own 38.
So if you're Atumwa, you don't abandon the game plan. You still have a second half to play, but you're certainly going to have to find some answers, and you're certainly going to have to slow yourself down in order to secure this mesh point both at the center quarterback position and at the fullback quarterback position.
So in the last two drives, the Greyhounds have taken advantage of a fumble that changed possession and then fumbles that thwarted drives and forced a punt. First down and 10 at the Bulldog 38. Sharp turns and hands it to Mannery, who gets hit at the 39. They give him the 40, so a gain of 2 before he's driven backward by Simpson.
Along the way, helped Derek Duncan along with Xavion Baker. So guys up front starting to cause a little action. JPH getting a little defensive snap time as their left defensive on, along with Noah Nixon.
Second down and 8 as we go inside of 2 minutes at this snap remaining in the first half. Key drive for the Greyhound defense to not give up any points right here. Salema in motion left to right. The lefty quarterback Shark back to pass. Quick slant route, and he bounced it to his intended receiver. That's number 6, William Howard. It'll be third down and 8.
We have an X-Man Jr. on the scene. Vance Walsh just got up, and instead of going over his head with the X-Scott, he brought it down here around his waist and said,
Pay
not on my
homage
watch.
To Matt Bredar.
X-Man number 2.
I do love it when D-backs, who had nothing to do with that incompletion, will put that up.
Oh, they had to put it there, and that's why the ball was incomplete.
Dude bounced it.
I just want to see a defensive end or, you know, somebody who is, like, not even close just going to do something.
Third and 8 from the 40. Shark under center. Fakes it to Mannery. He'll keep it. Wanted to pitch it. He's past the line of scrimmage. Thought about pitching it to Salema. Instead got taken down at the 46 after a gain of 6. It'll be 4th and 2, and we'll see what the Bulldogs do.
You know, in the game of option football, they say there are no bad reads, just a lot of good reads and then a great read. That was just a good read, because I think if he would have just kept going, he would have gotten the 4th down. Do the Bulldogs have a no play within their offensive system to make the defensive line of the Greyhounds jump? There's some talk right now between the team, and they may be taking a timeout.
Yeah, the play clock is at 15, game clock at 1:12. And Atumwa in no hurry to get to the line of scrimmage, so it would appear they will take a timeout just before the play clock would expire. And they will. So the clock will start, or stop, I should say, at 1 minute even. And so Atumwa will talk it over. So while they talk it over, we'll step away. 4th and 2, and we come back. 21-7, Greyhounds on top, back in 30 seconds on KBUR.
Now is the time to finish all of your
painting
projects.
No, I'm also going to say this has not been a good night for the Bulldogs, because
whether you are a contractor trying to finish your projects before winter sets in, or a homeowner reviving your interior spaces before the holidays, Diamond Vogel has everything that you're looking for in a paint supplier. Ease of application, performance and durability, perfect color, and exceptional service. Stop in for our fall decorating event going on now, Diamond Vogel, the miracle of paint, located at 3200 Division Street, Burlington.
Fourth down and 2 from their own 46-yard line. Here comes the Bulldogs offense back onto the field. 1 minute remaining before halftime, and trailing by 2 scores, it would appear Atumwa was going to go for it and try and sustain this drive.
Well, Scott, you'd have to think they'd be coming over here to the wide side of the field where they've had a lot more success.
Looks like they tried a no play, and now they get Phil Phillips. Now that's not Phillips.
That's Deshaun Kennard.
Deshaun Kennard to jump right defensive end. That five-yard walk-off will take it into Greyhound territory to the 49, but more importantly, a new set of downs.
Biggest thing here right now, Scott, is we just can't let them get into the end zone. You know, a field goal would be okay, but don't give them any of that momentum back by scoring a touchdown.
So first down and 10 now at the Greyhound 49. And now Temo's got some new life. Salema started to go in motion, and then he stopped. Now a flag's going to be thrown before the play can get going. Mannery, I should say, took the handoff, and instead an illegal procedure takes that 5 yards back. It'll be first and 15.
More importantly, gives us a chance to kind of reset ourselves.
And it ran 8-tenths of a second off the clock.
That's huge. That's huge.
It should not have. The official should look and say, please reset the clock at 1 minute. I think that's what he's saying right now.
But as I told you, Scott, off the air, Coach Kensler, one of the middle school coaches for the Ottumwa Bulldogs, he's asking with some help with the headsets, and so putting them back to one. All the coaches are back here. 1 minute. 1 minute.
Everybody's looking at the press box, trying to get the timekeeper to take the clock from 59.2 to 1 minute. They're having trouble conveying that message. You'd think after a bit, now he sets it at 105.
He'll have to run it down.
4, 3, 2, 1. Stop! There you go. 1 minute remaining here in the second half. Second quarter. Jesus. This is like going 0 for 4 with 3 strikeouts. So first and 15 from the 46. Got to regroup at halftime. Shark back to pass. Going to be picked off.
John Hoffman.
Picked off by Hoffman at the 47 of Burlington. Back into Bulldog territory at the 47. So it's a 6-yard return, and the Greyhounds have offensive life. 51.4 remaining before halftime. And the Greyhounds with a chance to add to their 14-point lead.
Now, the fun things that I like to see in a turnover is how people go seeking for people to block. Gotta love Gunnar Short. He found his way over to old number 6.
You find a guy smaller than you.
5'11", 155, yeah. And then brought him back about another 5 yards and then walked up and said, hey, can I help you up?
Yeah. We all used to do this. Find the smaller than you person to take advantage of in drills.
We always said fine quarterback.
So first down to 10 Greyhounds from the Bulldog 46. Here's Shizzle off the left side. Caden Shizzle just squares his shoulders, pushes forward to 39, a gain of 7. The Greyhounds with all three of their timeouts remaining.
But here
we
go.
To this point,
2 minutes
none called. They're going no huddle. 33 seconds. Robinson under center. 30 seconds. Fake to Simpson, keeper by Robinson, and he gets the 38, a gain
now,
of 1.
Now, see, there's a throwdown, just like we've seen in the first couple weeks, and then they don't throw the penalty.
Clock stopped at 22.1. It'll be third down and 2, and the Greyhounds take their first timeout.
So, Scott, what kind of intricate pass play route will they set up in trips and run motion and kind of go into a flood route into the corner? What are they going to do?
I got to believe at this point in time, after 5 completions, Atumwa's got to be able to sniff out that route that Fawcett's running, either the crossing route or the go route up the seam, whatever it may be. He has been wide open,
but you have
virtually
to honor,
every.
You have to honor this off tackle. You have to
you
honor.
You do.
So I'm saying right here now, because they're going to be talking about this, they're going to say, hey, back off. You're probably going to throw. We haven't seen a quarterback counter in about 10 to 15 plays or a fullback trap in the same amount of time, and this is a great situation. You don't have to go on a no play. You can sit here and go on a quick count and just run a quick little trap. And I would run it into the wide side of the field so that you got a chance to get a little extra yardage once you break free.
I figure the Greyhounds have to get probably 18 yards or so to give Winky or Snyder a legitimate opportunity at a 36, 37-yard field goal. Robinson going to pass. Fawcett was covered up. Double team.
Oh, that's
Robinson trying to escape the pocket, stumbled, got tackled by the turf monster, and now they're going to say intentional grounding on Gabe Robinson and the Greyhounds. And that'll be a 10-yard walk-off and a loss of down. So my guess is at this point in time, Jim Kreck will probably just, well, I bet he punts it because it's fourth down.
Well, I would imagine he was going to punt it too, but I just, you know, unfortunate that he couldn't get the ball over the line of scrimmage. And I'm telling you, that turf monster gets people more and more than you think. So
they're going to walk this penalty off from the 44, despite the line of scrimmage being the 43.
You saw that as well.
You see that a lot. I don't.
But you also have to know this is a crew that worked the first game as well. So.
Okay.
No excuses. Just it is what it is.
Fourth down and 13 from the Bulldog 49, and now it looked like the Greyhounds were going to go for it. And Crackle may have thought better of it. You know, I almost wonder if you don't drop Robinson into the shotgun, don't snap at 15 yards, maybe snap at 7, and you just do a quick kick out of a shotgun formation. You got 17 seconds on the clock. That's going to run 10 to 12 seconds off the clock, I would guess.
Well, I'm going to guarantee that Josh Osborne, the special teams coach for the Greyhounds, is going to say, do not, if we go into pump formation, he's going to say, please do not kick it anywhere in bounds. Just as far as you can, get it out of bounds. If they go to pump formation, but yeah, getting Gabe at about 7-8 yards and then just hold it for a second because you just never know what they're going to do and see what the outside guys who are your gunners on the punt team will do. But I think Coach Krekel will continue to play it close to the vest, line up in a true punt formation, even though I do not see Nolan Simpson stepping back into there he is.
So Simpson going to drop back to his 40-yard line to receive the snap from Wyatt Messer.
We seem to be missing a tackle or a guard. Here comes Deshaun.
Play clock at 7, plenty of time. Nice snap. Simpson steps forward after pausing, as John predicted. And he kicks it, hits at the 20, takes a Greyhound roll, and going to be downed by the aforementioned Wyatt Messer at the 17. So a nice punt by Nolan Simpson. Takes 9 seconds off the clock. We're at 8.7, so time for maybe one play for Ottumwa, trailing 21-7. So this is the time that you put the prevent defense on. Not when you're leading by, you know, 10 points with a minute and a half left. You just let a team go right down the field. Don't let anybody get behind.
I'd play a little bit softer in the second level, but I would not do a whole lot different defensively just because I'm afraid of the speed of these guys. I'm afraid of Shark's speed, and I'm afraid of Howard's speed as well. We haven't seen a lot by Salema on the edge.
Well, the safeties are 20 yards back. So
I would move Garrick over on the hash.
Shark, give to Mannery. Off tackle right, gets to the 16. Actually lost a yard, and that's how we'll end half number one on a one-yard loss by Cameron Mannery. So we've put 24 in the books. We've got 24 to go. We've reached halftime here at Schaefer Stadium, and the Burlington Greyhounds lead 21-7. Greyhounds have been paced by a 129-yard effort through the air by Gabe Robinson so far, 5 for 5. Dimitri Donald with a 2-yard touchdown run, Robinson with a 12-yard run, and then a pitch and catch from Robinson to Fawcett from 31 yards out to give the Greyhounds a lead of 14 at 21-7 as we go to halftime. We're going to step away for 5 minutes and try and track down some scores. When we come back, it'll be time for the CCCU, that's the Case Spine Community Credit Union, halftime show, coming up in 5 minutes right here on KBUR.
Roberts Tire Center, your local tire and auto repair service experts in Burlington, offers area customers the latest in tires at the best prices. And the Robert Tire team proudly provides, giving all their customers professional service and superior results. The passion for a better tire buying experience helped them become the company they are today. Roberts Tire Center, your number one provider for tires and auto repair services for 42 years in Burlington and Southeast Iowa. Proud sponsor of local high school and college sports all season long.
Keeping an eye on the tropics. I'm Lisa Lucera, Fox News. Tropical storm Fiona is now hitting Guadalupe and some of the Caribbean's easternmost islands with strong rain and wind. Its forecasters warn it could impact Puerto Rico and the Dominican Republic. The National Hurricane Center says Fiona will be near Puerto Rico late tomorrow.
The big concern here, mudslides and a delicate power grid. A slight storm surge is possible this weekend along the southern coast of the island. Airlines already making plans to cancel some flights, with others offering travel waivers. The Coast Guard says they are limiting port traffic until the storm passes.
Fox Weather's Will Nunley in San Juan. The National Hurricane Center says Fiona will likely become a hurricane near the Bahamas next week. Meanwhile, Tropical Storm Lester is in the eastern Pacific. It could make landfall tomorrow on Mexico's southwestern coast. The White House just out with a statement after President Biden met with family members of WNBA star Brittany Griner and security expert Paul Whelan, who were imprisoned in Russia. Reading in part, the president held the meeting to reiterate his continued commitment to working through all available avenues to bring Brittany and Paul home safely. And the White House says, we all admire the courage of the Whelan and Griner families in the face of these unimaginable circumstances. More mass burial sites have been uncovered in areas of Ukraine reclaimed from Russia.
Left in a forest, buried in shallow graves, discarded without dignity. Prosecutors in the newly liberated Ukrainian city of Izium say this is the scene of the latest mass grave. Investigators so far have discovered more than 400 bodies. Most are civilians. All carry their own story of Russia's brutal occupation. Much like the scene in Bucha, there are signs of torture. Some are reportedly found with their arms tied behind their back, others with rope around their neck. For
Fox's Jeff Paul in Kyiv, America is listening to Fox News.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/trial. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job in ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/trial. That's ZipRecruiter.com/trial. ZipRecruiter.com/trial.
Mostly cloudy skies overnight with a low of 67 degrees. Saturday, partly sunny skies, a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms with a high of 85. Saturday night, a 60% chance of showers and possible thunderstorms, otherwise mostly cloudy, a low of 68. Sunday, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, otherwise mostly sunny, a high of 87. Sunday night, a 70% chance of showers and thunderstorms with a low of 67. Monday, mostly sunny, a high of 85.
Weather now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
With any dream, the wind won't always be at your back. The sun won't always be shining, and some rain is going to fall. American Family Insurance is like a good solid roof that you can trust to protect your biggest dreams, with plans that could save you up to 23% when you bundle your home and auto. Also, you can continue to dream fearlessly, no matter what comes your way. American Family Insurance.
Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Contact Corey Richards, agent, at 319-753-2952 today.
With any dream, the wind won't always be at your back. The sun won't always be shining, and some rain is going to fall. American Family Insurance is like a good solid roof that you can trust to protect your biggest dreams, with plans that could save you up to 23% when you bundle your home and auto. Also, you can continue to dream fearlessly, no matter what comes your way. American Family Insurance.
Visit MFAM.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Contact Corey Richards, agent, at 319-753-2952 today.
Over Cardinal.
Back here at Schaefer Stadium at Ottumwa High School, and welcome into the Case My Community Credit Union Halftime Show, CCCU. It's where you belong, and it's time for your halftime stats, brought to you by Roberts Tire Center. Roberts Tire Center, locally owned since 1980, offering complete tire and auto service, located at 1220 Mount Pleasant Street in Burlington. Well, the Greyhounds came out. Both teams went scoreless on their opening drive, but Burlington scored on its second drive of the game. A drive culminated by a Dimitri Donald two-yard touchdown run marked by a 35-yard run by Gabe Robinson from the quarterback position, and then Robinson hooked up with Alex Fawcett for a 33-yard pitch and catch, and Donald's two-yard touchdown run made it 7-0. On their next drive, Ottumwa countered, however. Cameron Mannery took it in from 19 yards out. Quarterback Tanner Shark had a 16-yard run, 16-yard run, and then Abaya Salema had a 13-yard run as well. Three double-digit runs on that drive, and Mannery over from 19 yards out to make it 7 apiece. After Burlington had a 26-yard field goal blocked, they were able to force a fumble, took over at the Ottumwa 29-yard line, and after a couple of plays, Gabe Robinson ran it in from 12 yards out. Noah Nixon had a 16-yard reception from Robinson, and then Gabe took it over from the 12 on a naked bootleg around the left side to make it 14-7 midway through the second quarter. And then finally, Alex Fawcett, a 31-yard touchdown catch from Gabe Robinson with 2.5 minutes remaining in the half. Robinson was 2 for 2 on the 35 yards, and the Greyhounds lead 21-7 at halftime. Your halftime statistics first for the Greyhounds: 119 yards on the ground, 129 yards through the air. Robinson, a perfect 5 for 5 for a 129 and a touchdown. On the ground, Robinson also leads the way with 54 yards on 8 carries and the touchdown we told you about just a minute ago. Dimitri Donald, 4 carries, 23 yards and a touchdown. Caden Schizel, 7 carries, 21 yards. Nolan Simpson, 3 for 16. And Noah Nixon, 1 carry, 4 5. A total of 248 yards of offense. Again, 129 through the air for the Greyhounds. For Ottumwa, a little less impressive, 120 total yards all on the ground. So they've been doubled up by the Burlington offense. Leading the way is Cameron Mannery, 6 carries, 44 yards, and the lone Bulldog touchdown. Tanner Shark from the quarterback position, 3 carries for 30 yards. Abaya Salema, 4 carries for 24. Cooper Derby had 4 early carries. He's got 18 yards. Luke Grave, 1 for 5. And then Kevin Moreno, officially 1 carry for minus 1 as he fell on a fumble, which did not lead to a turnover, obviously, but did thwart a drive for Ottumwa. So 120 yards of total offense for the Bulldogs, 248 for the Greyhounds, and it shows on the scoreboard as the Greyhounds lead 21-7.
Gotta say, it's a very impressive performance by the Greyhound offense. You know they've practiced throwing the ball. You know it's part of the routine. But when you just dominate on the field so much in the run game, to come out in a game where you need to throw the ball because they know how to defend, Gabe Robinson and the crew have done a great job. But I got to tell you, pass blocking is not so easy either. And so I got to give credit one more time to Adam Glasgow, Charlie Walsh, and the rest of the offensive linemen for Burlington for their ability to play action pass block in this system as well, because you know they don't spend a lot of time on that, because their focus is all going to be on moving the ball off the ground. So
some scores from around the area we'll get you caught up on. First off, in Keokuk tonight, at Oskaloosa, Keokuk leads the Indians 14-0 as they play in the second quarter. In the battle of the Cardinals' last name versus the Cardinals' first name, Central Decatur leads Cardinal of Eldon by the score of 27-14. In the third quarter, Columbus, who received votes this week in Class A, they lead the Lisbon Tigers by the score of 27-7. North Cedar, looking for its first win of the year, leads Highland at the half by the score of 12-7. A first quarter score, Winfield Mount Union, an 8-man, leads HLV by the score of 30-6. Number 2 in 8-man football, Waco, they're shutting out Iowa Valley in the second quarter by the score of 17-0. In a big one, 20 miles north of Burlington, Mediapolis playing host Iowa City Regina, and the Bulldogs lead after 3 by the score of 10-7. West Burlington looking to get on the win in the win column, I should say, for the first time this year. They lead winless Mount Pleasant by the score of 14-7. Knoxville leads Fairfield 22-21 as they play in the second quarter. Iowa City Liberty is all over Clear Creek and Manna tonight in the third.
The Lightning lead the Clippers. Yes, that's what it is. Lightning lead the Clippers by the score of 41-7. And in the big one in Class 4A, Cedar Rapids Xavier, number 2 in the state, taking on North Scott, number 3 in the state in Eldridge. As they play late in the second quarter, it's the Saints 10 and the Lancers nothing.
Just listening to the Ottumwa High School band as they perform on homecoming night. Scott, I got to tell you, the scores, I'm very impressed with the West Burlington-Mount Pleasant game. Good to see Joe Bowman continue to battle. Sean Striegel for the Panthers of Mount Pleasant. Just somebody's going to walk away very happy, and somebody's got to figure out a way to crack the egg.
Well, and I'm sure after after going winless last year and losing your first three this year, as West Burlington has done, and a couple of those games pretty close. They didn't play a ton of close games a year ago. They are an improved team this year. After 12 in a row, I'm sure you're looking at it going, when am I going to get that first victory?
And when you start to be ahead and the game gets longer, the biggest thing you got to make sure that you protect yourself from is not putting yourself in a mentally bad space that, okay, something bad's going to happen here. So, you know, don't tell yourself not to do something, because that's generally when you're going to do that. I find that on the golf course more often than not. Don't shank, don't shank, don't shank. And then, sure enough, shankopotamus. So,
yeah, I do that too. I will stand over a tee shot after, you know, driving the ball pretty well, and then I'll go, gosh, I hope I don't have one of those wicked slices I used to. Oh, there it is. There it is. Or I'm standing over a putt. It's a six-footer for birdie, and you're like, six-footer. Let's just roll it in straight, and then you end up, you know, leaving it short or something. I've been doing that a lot this year, leaving putts short.
So the learned wisdom here tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is don't tell yourself negative things.
Right, and don't leave putts short.
Well, again, see, you're giving yourself negative talk here.
No, I'm just saying.
Don't leave putts short.
You miss 100% of the putts you leave short. Don't leave putts short.
So if we were to say that in a positive tone, we'd say,
make sure you put enough on a putt.
There you go. Let's do that.
Don't leave it short.
So when we transfer that over to football, we're going to say finish out and play to finish the game. And this game is definitely not over. I know we went down a rabbit hole there, and I apologize. But this is a situation where, you know, you're ahead. You're feeling pretty good about yourself. They've done some good things, and we have to make sure that we don't think that this game's already in the bag because we're up a couple scores. Because with their team speed, they really do have an opportunity to get some points on the board. So it's just a matter of making sure that we are continuing to put the pressure on them on both sides of the ball. So Ottumwa starts, and they'll have the ball to begin the second half. So the way you do that is you try to get a quick three and out on these Bulldogs early and try to get just some more points on the board, just to kind of continue to drive that nail into the coffin.
So, you did nail in the coffin as I was coughing. So, I did say I would try and find out who the last 100-yard passer was. I'm saying it's LT Beck. I don't think we've had a 100-yard passer in a game since LT.
And I'm gonna say if it's not LT, it's going to go back all the way to Tanner Hartsock.
No. Oh, I stand corrected. Stand corrected. We forgot about the short but sweet Brock Dengler era as a freshman.
Oh, that's right.
His last one was 7 for 11 for 114 yards, week 3 against Clinton back in 2019. It was his freshman year. No, sophomore year, 1920. Yeah, sophomore year. But opening night against these Ottumwa Bulldogs, he was 18 of 33 for 203 yards and 3 touchdowns in a 47-21 loss at the hands of the Bulldogs. So Brock Dengler was your last triple-digit passer for the Burlington Grands. He did it twice in 2019.
You know, I'm gonna give the Greyhounds credit for one more thing here mentally. It just absolutely blows my mind, but we're listening to the Ottumwa band, and here come the Greyhounds meandering, as I like to use Jim Kreckel's word, meandering onto the far side of the field to get warm up. You know, there's no hustle to them. So it reminds me of the Houston Oilers and Earl Campbell. Not a whole lot of energy in between plays or whatever, but when the play's on, you're going to get the best of your ability. So you don't really know if they're tired or not, because they're just kind of pacing themselves after the play. You know, I was always about making sure that, you know, we hustled onto the field. We showed them that, you know, we're ready to go, fired up. You know, this is where old school Jim Krakow goes, you know what, guys, let's do a little bit of stretching, go, and we'll just go play. Go in between the whistles and we'll play.
So you want to hear about the veritable air raid offense of 2017?
Yeah.
LT Beck, 105 for 211. Threw it 211 times. Divide that by 9 games, that's 23 times a game for 1,352 yards. 10 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. But can you imagine 211 passes in a year?
Yeah, I remember that. We were in the box for that.
And then let's see.
You know what? You know
the
what
year before he threw it 115 times.
You know what that reminded me of?
What?
The early Muscatine Coach Leach days when they threw it 52 times a game. Yeah. And every time that ball went out of bounds or was incomplete, the game stopped. And we would come home from Muscatine later than if we came home from Clinton. That's what I remember, Scott. Those are some of the PTSD things I have.
So as we go into that rabbit hole, let's bring the Case Spine Community Credit Union halftime show to a close. We've put 24 in the books. 24 to go. It is halftime. Burlington 21, Latumwa 7. When we come back, it'll be time for the second half kickoff. Back in 1 minute on KBUR.
Hey, Mom, we're going on a bike ride.
Okay, sounds good. Got your helmets?
Sure do. Oh, and make sure to turn on your bike lights, Kimberly.
But it's sunny outside. You only need those at night.
Not these lights. Daytime visible bike lights are really important, as there are a lot of distractions on the road.
Have you seen flashing lights far away wondering, what is that? Only to get closer and be pleasantly surprised, coming upon a person, family, or group of friends riding bikes together? Hi, this is Melinda Bickle with Bickle Cycling and Fitness. Daytime flashing bike lights are one of the single best ways for any cyclist to make their presence known to motorists and other pedestrians. Our ultra-bright, all-weather headlights and taillights provide visibility not only at night, but help you stand out during the day when people are actually riding the most. And not all bike lights are created equal. While brightness is important, a true daytime running light is designed with specific focus, flash, and range to be seen from a meaningful distance.
For kids and adults alike, it's important to stand out when it matters most.
Bickle Cycling and Fitness.
In West Burlington, Iowa.
Contractors, do-it-yourselfers, the professional staff at Standard of Beaverdale can help you every step of the way. Doors, roofing, siding, windows, decks, electrical, and of course, lumber. Standard of Beaverdale will help you with the planning and design no matter what project you're working on. And they deliver. Need a new refrigerator or stove? Standard of Beaverdale. Check out the large appliance showroom. Enjoy the game. Standard of Beaverdale on Beaverdale Road in West Burlington.
Back here at Schaefer Stadium, Tom Kopetich Field in Atumwa as we're ready to start the second half. Yeah, there we are. Marcos took a nice picture. Marcos Perez on Facebook.
We got you, Marcos.
Husband of one of the new dean of students over at the high school, Annie. Took a picture of the Atumwa side of the field from the Burlington stands, and there we are.
We're right
in that
there.
Little lit up
spot.
In that
last box. Yeah.
We'll talk about those Muscatine passing offenses as the second half wears on, but we're ready to go as Christian Snyder has it on the tee and ready to get us back underway, and he does. This is going to be a ground ball taken by one of the upbacks at about the 32. It was the same upback as earlier in the first half, number 45 for Atumwa, and that's going to be Braylon Griffiths, and he'll get it across the 40 to the 41, and that's where Atumwa will start its first drive here in half number two.
Well, this is always the time of adjustments, and what has Burlington done is different than what Atumwa has done. Will Atumwa begin to abandon the play? I'm like you now, I've inherited the game plan. Thank you.
I didn't know where you were going for. I couldn't help you.
I know. I can understand that.
So first and 10 from the 41, two to the right, single setback. Behind Shark, and Shark gives it to Mannery on first down. He loses two, back inside the 40-yard line.
Johnny Shulka on the tackle for the Greyhounds.
Look at you.
Big old number 74.
You know the big uglies. I know the skill position guys, and I got to look up the big uglies.
These guys aren't the
number.
Big uglies. These guys are called super skilled players. God has blessed all those people who can run and cut and catch and throw.
I bet.
These guys are super
skilled. If you went to John Shulka and said, would you rather be called a big ugly or a super skill, he'd say big ugly, dude.
They just said call him for dinner is what they want.
Second and 12 from the 39. Here's a give. No, a fake to Mannery and a keeper by Shark. Tried to get around the corner right side. He got the 2 yards back plus one before he's brought down by Nolan Simpson. It'll be third down and nine.
Nolan's going to need to take a breather. He got a little shin pop or an ankle. So he's kind of walking gingerly. So in comes number 30 for the Greyhounds. That's Rafe Butheris. He'll step inside along with Trent Huffman, Owen Baker, and Caden Shizzle the Mizzle.
So by the way, got a little flack for that yesterday.
Hey,
we believe from Dimitri Donald. I'm walking away from the Crackle interview, and I hear, Shizzle the Mizzle! And I look, and this young man's smiling at me, and I don't know Dimitri well enough to know if it was him, but
somebody
fumble on the ground as another botched mesh point, and that's going to be recovered by the Greyhounds back inside the 40 of the 37, and that's either Butheris or Baker. I think it's Baker they're going to give credit for the recovery.
Man, I've got to tell you, Shark is just so mad at himself because he knew that was on him. He should have pulled that just a little bit earlier. And great job by the Greyhound defense. Got him out early. Now we got to put points on the board.
So first down at 10, Greyhounds leading 21-7 from the Bulldog 37. Robinson turns and hands it to Donald. Donald's going to be dropped a loss of one unless they give him back to the line of scrimmage. They do. No gain on the play. It'll be second and 10.
Man, he was swallowed up quickly by the Bulldogs. Number 56, Dylan Forney, coming in right away along with number 10, Luke Grave, on the stop for the Bulldogs there. Well, it's time to go to the air. Let's go throw the ball.
I got to believe that at this point in time, Gabe Robinson has a perfect 158.3 passer rating. Second and 10, we jumped early, got away with it. Robinson's going to keep it, and he takes it off the left side. Inside the 35, down to the 33, maybe the 32.
Yeah,
we'll give him the 32, a gain of five.
You're right, Scott Zabey took off about a half a count too soon, but, you know, those are so bang-bang that you can't really decide whether to throw the flag. Big third down, I think, for the Greyhounds here this early in the third quarter.
And probably just as big for the Ottumwa defense to keep any momentum from getting started for this Greyhound offense. Already leading 21-7. Robinson under center. Turn. Just going to take it himself off the right side. And he's got first down yardage inside the 30 down to the 26. That's a gain of six and a chain mover for Burlington.
Nice job. We're going to mention a new name that we haven't mentioned all year on the Greyhound offense, and that's Solomon Cordero. Stepped in as the right tight end. And did a nice job of blocking down at that second level, allowing Gabe to get the yard it's needed for the first down.
So first down and 10 at the Ottumwa 26-yard line. 9 minutes remaining in the third quarter. Greyhounds by 14. Another jump, got away with it. Delayed handoff to Donald because of a fumbled exchange between center and Robinson, but Donald athletic enough to find running room inside the 25 to the 22, a gain of four.
Nice job by Gabe because Nolan's a little slow. I mean, he plays a lot of snaps on both sides of the ball, but he's coming off a little slow on the snap count here. And so ran into Robinson a little bit and then had to give the ball to Dimitri just a little bit too late.
Second and six, Robinson turns and hands it to Donald again. Wanted to go right, cut it back left, went right into the teeth of the defense. Got to the 20, gain of two. It'll be third down and four.
All right, Scott, I'm going to tell you it's been about 10 plays since we've seen a no play.
And a pass.
We are right on the edge of the Matt Rinker red zone, so we are ready to go.
It's the Matt Rinker State Farm Rocket Mortgage red zone. If you're going to try and steal my thunder.
I'm not trying to steal your thunder.
We're not in there yet.
We're on the edge. That's why
we are competing agents. I can't say his name any more than I have to. He knows this. It's all fun and games. Third down and four from the 20. Tell you a story about it in a second. Keeper by Robinson. He's got first down yardage before he spun out of bounds. That's a gain of 5 to the 15. He told me, I ran into him at an event, and he said, Scott, I could not say yes to that offer by Ben Vogel fast enough because I knew that you had to say my name and my company so many times during a season. So, you know, touche, Mr. Rinker, well played. Yeah, they're in the Matt Rinker State Farm Rocket Mortgage Red Zone at the 15. Thanks, John. Appreciate you reminding me of that. First down and 10 at the 15. Some sort of zone. Robinson with a keeper. Stays on his feet somehow. He got outside, planted his right foot, cut up field. I thought he was going to stumble, get tackled by the turf monster. Instead, he was able to lunge forward for what looks like a gain of 2.
I didn't want to steal your thunder on that, Scott. So
appreciate that. So. Just pointed.
That's right. You make the call.
Say it.
You make
say
the call. I provide the call.
I get it. Nice description of that last play, by the way. Second down and 8. Way to talk about the big uglies inside. Here's a turn and give to Donald, who takes it off the right side. And Dimitri Donald, powerful running down near the first down marker. Looks like he's going to be just short 5. So we'll give him 7 official. It'll be third down and a short 1.
Well, here are the beginning signs of wearing down the defensive front. Number 52, Braden Larkin, takes himself out of the game as replaced by Nia Gita, a 5'8", 190 pounds sophomore. So if you're ever going to go inside now, it would be taking the super skill, big ugly guys, and going right off the left A-gap for 6.
Third down and goal from the 6. Robinson, fake to Simpson, plants his foot, left side, puts up field, squares his shoulders before he gets hit by a linebacker inside the 5, and that was the most awkward call I think I've ever made, but a gain of 4.
A lot of banging around, just a quarterback delay coming off, and this is just, again, eat the clock. Nice job by Gabe hanging on to the ball. No rush to get a play in.
Then they're
going to get themselves down to 1 or 0 here before they snap.
In the mortal words of Kevin Malone from The Office, me use few words, why use more when few okay? Or something like that. First and goal from the 4. Robinson turns and hands it to Simpson. And Nolan trying to push the pile forward. He's got to the 1. So gain of 2, it'll be second and goal.
Well, here comes, I'm going to call this right now, Scott. I'm going to call the old quarterback push along as they are right on the edge of the goal line here.
So you're saying that Robinson's going to keep it, and well, from behind, Simpson and Donald are going to push him into the end zone.
Yep, I'm going to say right here.
Naked boot to the left side. I think they're going to get creative.
They're going to spread. They're going to go shotgun, triple motion.
Full house backfield behind Robinson under center. Turns. Hands it to, it's hard for me to tell, was that Shizzle?
That's the missile.
Yeah, Caden Shizzle into the end zone off the left side. Touchdown Grands. I was looking through a window, looking through another window and some screen. I couldn't see.
A lot of refraction of light there. But nice job again. This left side, this is Trent Hoffman and Xavion Baker along with Alex Fawcett, Philip Phillips, Nolan Simpson. Hands off to Shizzle, the missile, and he is in for 6 as we get ready to get lined up right now. As
Brennan Winkie.
Yes.
Winkie going to try the extra point. Snap is good. Spot is good. Kick is up low, but good. 5:11 remaining, third quarter. Burlington now on top by the score of 28-7. Hold everything up. There's a flag on the field.
This will be a roughing the kicker on the Bulldogs. This was Cooper Derby trying to get in to block the kick. Kind of dove across the leg of Winky, and I think they're just going to go ahead and add that on to the kick.
Personal foul, roughing the kicker is the correct call. So they will add 15 on to the kick. So, 5:11 remaining, third quarter. Burlington 28, Atomo 7, back in 1 minute on KBUR.
With any dream, the wind won't always be at your back. The sun won't always be shining, and some rain is going to fall. American Family Insurance is like a good solid roof that you can trust to protect your biggest dreams. With plans that could save you up to 23% when you bundle your home and auto. Also, you can continue to dream fearlessly, no matter what comes your way. American Family Insurance.
Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Contact Corey Richards, agent, at 319-753-2952 today.
Life happens, and when it does, sometimes that means time to change your home. Growing families, empty nest, and everything in between can mean time for more space, downsizing, and renovating. I'm Connor with Danville State Savings Bank, and I want to help you with a mortgage or home equity loan. Together with your good credit, we can make sure your home fits with your life. Call me today so we can chat about what you need. At Danville State Savings Bank, we're ready when you are. Offices in Danville, New London, and online at danvillebank.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Greyhounds lead on the scoreboard, 28-7. Have outgained Ottumwa to the tune of 286-114. And now, Christian Snyder will get us back underway kicking from the Ottumwa 45. What the heck? Just do a squibber and see if maybe you can't fall on it. Go for the jugular. Instead, Snyder's going to kick it deep. And he kicks it into the end zone. And taken for a touchback by William Howard.
This will be Burlington's first touchback, probably in about 10 years. Now, of course, we got a 15-yard aid, but nice kick by Christian to get in the end zone. No return. Let the Bulldogs start from their 20, and let's get over and get another three and out. Greyhounds get the ball back.
There is body language if you're a body language expert. Just the body language for a tumble right now. They're just kind of walking. Seemingly energy, going through the motions.
Energy seems to be gone right now.
Mannery, the single set back behind Shark. They send a man in motion. They pitch it to him. That's Salema trying to get around the right side. Has to reverse field. Comes up the far hash. He's going to be squared up and dropped by Shizzle the Missile, who that time was a missile shot out of a cannon defensively and hit Abaya Salema after a gain of one.
Good to see Caleb Zogib for the Greyhounds. He's been injured the last 3 weeks. He's getting a little rep here. Nice job on making that play turn inside so Caden can make the tackle.
And you can just tell, too, that when you're, things are going well, just the way you tackle seems more intense, more aggressive.
Well, you finish better. There's just no doubt about that.
Shark, counter, handoff. Nice yardage off the right side. 40, 45, fumble the football. Picked up by the Greyhounds. Going the other way is Fawcett. Alex
He's
Fawcett up
score.
The far side. Run out of bounds short of 30.
Goodness.
Alex Fawcett got the fumble recovery off of the fumble by, that is Salema.
Scott, I gotta take, I hope I can get a chance to look at this early on video tomorrow. My goodness. It looked like they just took it right out of his hand.
Well, he got hit, and I think he, I don't know if it was the hit itself that jarred it loose, or it was a strip, or a peanut punch, or what it was, but Salema had nice yardage, got out across the 45, and then just lost it.
Well,
Alex Fawcett picked it up and took it back to the Ottumwa 30-yard line.
I mean, that's the speed of this Bulldog offense, and, you know, that's a great misdirection play. It was just an inside counter. Everybody's going into that motion to the far side of the field, and then Salema comes back. Nice job.
So Burlington recovers the football. Fawcett returns it about 25 yards up to the Bulldog 30. Well, that's where the Greyhounds will start this drive at the Ottumwa 30-yard line. 4:20 remaining in the third quarter and leading 28-7, and a real chance right here to maybe, as they say, put a dagger shot in.
This, I would do this on first down. Dagger shot. You're in here. You're a little ticked off because you had a good big play.
Robinson with Phillips, the wing back to the left side. High formation set with Shizzle behind Simpson. Shizzle follows Simpson off the left side. He's got 10 yards down to the 20.
Or maybe we're just going to dagger you by 20-yard carries.
Death by 1,000 paper cuts.
That's right.
We'll see where they put the football. And they're going to set it just outside the 20. So not going to say it just yet.
Great job again up front. I mean, you can see the body language now, the front four of the Ottumwa Bulldogs. They are just beginning to grasp for air. you know, just taking their time, getting set into their stances.
First down and 10, just outside the 20. Robinson turns and hands it to Shizzle off the right side. Caden Shizzle gets outside the 10, 5, waltzes into the end zone. A 20-yard touchdown run for Caden Shizzle. Touchdown, Greyhounds.
And now another flag goes up. I'm going to tell you right now, Nolan Simpson in the middle of the fray with Braden Larkin. And Nolan was doing some clapping. I was watching the point of impact and the play, and then all of a sudden I saw the flag go up. So it looks like they're going to, whatever they do, do it on the kickoff. Could it be a double unsportsmanlike?
Well, the official is looking over the Atoma sideline right now. If it stands, it's a 20-yard touchdown run for Caden Shizzle.
This is a post possession play.
Dead ball, unsportsmanlike on Atumwa, and it's going to be assessed on the kickoff. So
yeah, that
another short kick coming up for the Greyhounds.
Yeah, that's Braden Larkin. They've been talking to each other all game. I'm sure they're not talking about Pinterest recipes. I'm pretty certain about that.
Christian Snyder in to try the extra point. Snap, spot, hold, kick, good. 4:04 remaining, third quarter. Burlington now on top by the score of 35-7. Back in 1 minute on KBUR.
I can't believe I just scratched that car. Find my insurance card.
Dude, what do you have in this glove box? Ew, are these socks dirty?
Oh, forget about the socks. I need my insurance card.
Just pull it up on the State Farm mobile app.
But I can do that? Oh, hey, I can do that.
Yep, it's called service.
I can file a claim on here, too?
Yeah, it's called service.
Whoa, I can call my agent, too?
It's called service.
See your State Farm and Rocket Mortgage agent, Matt Rinker, for a quote today.
Life happens, and when it does, sometimes that means time to change your home. Growing families, empty nest, and everything in between can mean time for more space, downsizing, and renovating. I'm Connor with Danville State Savings Bank, and I want to help you with a mortgage or home equity loan. Together with your good credit, we can make sure your home fits with your life. Call me today so we can chat about what you need. At Danville State Savings Bank, we're ready when you are. Offices in Danville, New London, and online at danvillebank.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun, dun. Brennan Winkie has it back on the tee. And this time he'll do the honors and put it into the end zone after the 15-yard unsportsmanlike penalty allows Burlington to kick it off again from the Atoma 45. And the Greyhounds leading 35-7. Give it back to the Bulldogs, who now have it at their own 20.
Some fresh bodies getting in there. Caleb Zog back in there to get some reps. Deshaun Kennard's been in and out throughout the game. We got number 62 back in, Brayton Dixon. Going to play that inside position along with, who do we else got on that side? Just the front three. Same back level guys that we've talked about all game.
So first down and 10 at the 20 for Atumwa. Motion Manis Salema from left to right. Give to Maneri on first down. He's hit and dropped behind the line of scrimmage. Forward progress to the 19. But that's still a loss of one. It'll be second and 11.
Man, that was a trio. Zog, Kennard, and Baker on the cleanup there. Nice to have fresh legs to get off the ball.
That is the third consecutive negative carry for Maneri. And the sixth overall for Atumwa tonight, who's rushed for 140. But if you take out a 26-yarder and a 20-yarder, they've rushed for fewer than 100 yards tonight. So second down and 11 from the 19. Salema in motion again, left to right. Sharks going to throw. Flushed, hit by Baker, but evades Baker's grasp. Now he's going to roll right. Has a man, that's Salema, hit at the line of scrimmage and wrestled down. Kind of hog-tied and thrown down for no gain.
Caden Shizzle on the tackle for the Greyhounds. And very nervous section of time there. Shark doing a nice job of avoiding Greyhound tacklers and getting the ball into Salema's hands, but still, third and long for the Bulldogs. No answer for this Greyhound defense right now.
Shark now 1-for-3 for 0 yards. As that play goes for no gain.
That's not the way you want to get into the record books.
Think about this. Burlington has run 41 plays tonight. Atumwa has run 28.
So Burlington's rushing game has really dictated tempo
since
the latter part of the first quarter. This game was even through 12 minutes, and Burlington just slowly and methodically took control. Third down and 11. Shark on the counter to Salema. Gets around the right edge, but he gets only six. Did you see a flag somewhere?
I did see a flag thrown around the 21-yard line.
Salema would have six to the 25 if it stands. You're thinking it will not.
Matt Payne getting slow to get up. Procedure on the Bulldogs.
No, it was a hold.
It was a hold?
It was a hold, yeah.
The center pole of a window is very hard to see the mechanics of an official.
It's tough to see through when it's not transparent.
Yes. I would have been okay trying to work through opaque.
Oh, so Jim Kreckel says we'll take the 7-yard gain for Salema, bring up a fourth down and four.
Fourth and four.
So Atumwa will now send in the punt team, it would appear, trailing 35-7, and that is a bit of a white flag late in the third quarter.
I would say that. And what needs to happen right now, if Owen Baker would please get to a point where he could settle on their kick, catch it, and advance it, or make sure it doesn't bounce any further.
Salema's rugby-style kick hits at the 43 and takes an Atumwa roll inside the 30, 25, 21-yard line is where it's going to be downed. And Luke Grave makes the downing at the 20, and suffice to say, based upon your reaction, your displeasure with that.
I'm so glad we're not videoed in the press box here. That's a 21-yard change right there from the point of contact to the ground.
Maybe Kreckel tells them, let it hit. We want to go the length of the field and pad our stats.
I'm going to probably say no to that, but, I mean, that's a good attempt. On the onside, though, Scott, this is a situation where we could really just kind of nail things shut here on this drive.
Final 2 minutes of the third quarter. Starting offense still in. Robinson turns and hands it to Donald. Dimitri Donald off the left side gets three up to the 24.
Yeah, and, you know, you're just going to see a very, very, very slow pace by the Greyhounds here. There's not going to be any big rush to get the ball snapped on either way.
Buck 39 and counting. Greyhounds lead 35-7. You'd think it was all on the ground tonight. Gabe Robinson still 5 for 5 for 129. And that 31-yard pitch and catch to Alex Fawcett in the second quarter. Second and 7 from the 24. Robinson fakes it to Simpson. He'll keep it, try and get around the right corner. Does. Gets hit from behind and finally thrown down across the 30. At about the 32, it would appear. So they're going to move the chains after that, after the gain of 8.
Yeah, you just can see it. You know, and, of course, anything can happen. And, you know, momentum can change. But I really think we're comfortably in the driver's seat here. And if we can just continue to not make mental mistakes, I think we're going to just continue to move this ball down and score and get it to a 35-point range.
Play clock at 8. Offense in no hurry. Robinson turns and hands it to Shizzle. Shizzle hits, spins out of an arm tackle, gets up to the 35 for a gain of 3. That may do it for the third quarter as the play clock at 40 and the game clock now at 18, and Burlington is just going to let the third quarter expire. Big quarter for the Greyhounds as they score twice. They pad their lead, which was 21-7 at the half. It's now 35-7 after Caden Shizzle scores twice. One from one, one from 20. Put those four fingers in the air. We've put 36 in the books. We got 12 to go. 12 minutes separating Burlington from a 3-1 start heading into district play and out of non-district play. Starting next week with a game against Clinton at homecoming at Bracewell. 35-7 your score after 3. Back in 1 minute on KBUR.
With so much financial uncertainty, are you wondering if your retirement savings will last? The market's ups and downs can keep you guessing, especially if you're approaching retirement or considering it. Hi, I'm Edward Jones Financial Advisor John Hart. If you have more questions than answers about what's next, let's work together to help ensure you're prepared for the future. After all, retirement isn't the end of the road, it's a new beginning. Call me at 319-753-5693. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
With any dream, the wind won't always be at your back. The sun won't always be shining, and some rain is going to fall. American Family Insurance is like a good, solid roof that you can trust to protect your biggest dreams. With plans that could save you up to 23% when you bundle your home and auto. Also, you can continue to dream fearlessly, no matter what comes your way. American Family Insurance.
Visit MFAM.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, assigned its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Contact Corey Richards, agent, at 319-753-2952 today.
We do have another score to report from McKinney. The McKinney, Texas Lions lead the Little Elm Lobos 42-7 right now as they play in the...
Those Lobos have been hit with some injuries, and I'm not sure they're going to be able to survive the season.
Well, and that Lions, that's a juggernaut.
Well, you better believe that. Glad we don't see them.
Texas football, that's a different animal. Here's Robinson on a keeper on 2nd and 7. Turns upfield, 40, 45, 50. Straight arm at the 45. To the 40. That's a nice gain for Gabe Robinson. That's 15 plus 11. That's a 26-yard run and another first down for the Greyhounds. And he's now over 100 yards. He's got 15 carries for 110.
If Gabe doesn't make Hawkeye Player of the Week or Athlete of the Week, I don't know what kind of performance would. This has been a pretty spectacular performance by the junior quarterback.
239 yards of total offense so far for Gabe Robinson. Can't imagine he's going to put it up anymore, and I would be honest in telling you that I'm surprised he's still at quarterback.
Well, your backup's Nolan Simpson.
Robinson gives it to Noah Nixon, who just a quick hitter up the gut. Not much there. In fact, he lost a yard back to the 40.
Now, I don't know who their third would be. You know, if it's Shizzle, if it's Fawcett. You know, just because of who we are and the thinness of our roster, I don't think you're going to see a pouring of people out. Now, you might see it on defense more than somebody else.
Well, how about this? I'm surprised to see Gabe's number called, especially given what happened at Washington 3 weeks ago.
Well, and you know, when you got Donald, who's run the ball really well, and you've got some other guys, I'm surprised right now that, you know, Nolan Simpson's still running because he'll play so much on defense.
Chisel off the right side with a nice pickup on 2nd and 10. Gets inside the 35-yard line to the 34. That's a gain of 5. It'll be 3rd and 5.
And really, to me, the thing is you've got to milk this clock as much as you can for the guys up front. More than anything else, because you're so thin there, you've got to find a way to make sure that they have limited contact when you're in this margin of a game so that you can get healed up a little bit faster for next week.
3rd down and 5 from the Bulldog 34. Robinson, turn and give to Donald. Donald off the right side, off a tackle. He's got another 3 down to the 31. So it'll be 4th down and a long 2.
You know, I've called his name a little bit on the defensive side, but it's nice to see senior Caleb Zog get in on the offensive side now. He's spelling Xavion, who's catching himself a little bit of breather on the side. Xavion's done a nice job on both sides of the ball tonight, so good to see him get rest. Good to get Caleb back into the flow of things.
So 4th down and a short 3, long 2. I formation behind Robinson. Turn, give to Donald. Ooh, he's close. I don't know if he's got it, but
right foot or left foot on the far side.
Well, and you look at the far side official. If it's right foot, that's a 1st down. If it's left foot, it's going to be short.
See, I'm saying.
And they're giving
foot
it to him.
Yeah.
They're giving Dimitri 3 yards. Now 11 carries, 44 yards, and even 4 per carry for Dimitri Donald. And another chain mover for the Greyhounds as they get it to the 29 with 9:14 and counting here in the fourth quarter. 35-7. 4 touchdowns on the ground, 1 through the air tonight for the Burlington offense.
You know, one of the things that, you know, as I'm looking over the sideline, Scott, it's amazing that we play 95% of our squad here.
First and 10 from the 29. Keeper by Robinson around the left side. Turns up field at the hash. Gets inside the 25 to about the 22. Maybe the 22. Give him 7. Come on. Give him 7.
Xavion stepping back.
Now spot of the 23. Field. Give him 6.
Out comes Caleb Zog. Baker in for Phillips, I would think.
Second down and 4 after the gain of 6. Just a very methodical performance now, up to 243 rushing yards, 372 total yards for the Burlington offense. Donald off the left side, but they're going to blow it dead. Illegal procedure. We'll take it back out near the 30, take it back to the 28-yard line. It'll be second down and 9.
Finally caught Xavion. Just counting. In fact, you look back over to side judge, and side judge putting it in and goes, yeah, I know.
They're going to look at the tape and say, well, we could have gotten you about 3 other times as well.
Yep.
Yeah, but I will say this. It is nice to see sometimes those breaks go the direction of Burlington. It seems like they have gone against Burlington so many times.
Yeah, you know, and again, you know, it's just good to see really some clean execution offensively. Of course, we want to get it back on the no play.
There's a no play, so the entirety of the defensive line jumped. I wish I could hear what Gabe sounded like. You know, what is it?
The cadence goes, down, set, go.
Yeah.
Down, set, go. So he just gets a little harder count at the end. Down, set, go! And then...
Does he maybe say, Black 89 Razor!
No.
Black 89 Razor!
Nobody's doing that anymore.
Yeah. So back to second and 4 from the 23. Donald, quick hitter. Gain of 1 to the 22.
Oh, and Baker on a nice arc release fake to get the corner and the outside linebacker to flow with him. So he doesn't have to block anybody.
Just runs away. Run away! Run away!
That is a strategy.
That what is movie strategy. Is that from? Run away!
I can't remember.
Monty Python.
Okay.
Holy Grail.
There's so many
run away! I need some coconuts.
I'm more in the knights than me.
We are the knights who say me. Tis but a flesh wound. I've had worse. Here's Shizzle off the right side on 3rd down and 3, and he's got the 20. Going to be about a half yard short of the first down. All right. Nose of the football is inside the 20, so the Greyhounds have entered the Matt Rinker State Farm Rocket Mortgage red zone. He didn't get it last time because they scored from outside the 20. So I give it to him this time. Plus, he got a commercial between then and now. So if Matt's listening, he's getting a lot of play tonight.
So thank the offense.
4th down and a short 1. Robinson turns. Follows a block, gets the corner, inside the 15, down to the 10, and he's rustled down at the 9, a gain of 11, and it'll be first and goal. Gabe Robinson now up to 17 carries for 127.
Run to the far side so I can see. The blocks, the cinder blocks are in my way.
5:46 and counting. Greyhounds on top, 35-7. This was a 7-7 game. Late in the first quarter, and then the Burlington Greyhounds just took control methodically, slowly. Death by a thousand paper cuts, as we said a couple of times. Just very, very methodical. Precision. Passing attack. First to go from the 9. Piss to Shizzle. Shizzle around the right side, and he dives forward. Hall, and he's tripped up by the shoelaces. A gain of 8. Gets down to the 1.
So, Scott, we're going to run the double reverse flea flicker pass here.
From the 1?
Yeah, let's do it. I don't think so.
I think that would be seen as less than sportsmanlike.
Oh.
Just saying.
Oh, okay.
And we are nothing if not sportsmanlike.
We are going to win the award this year.
We say that every year, don't we?
And then usually by the first quarter of the first contest, it's over.
First or second to go from the 1, piss to Shizzle. Chisel around the left side this time, and he dives into the end zone, puts a couple of tacklers. Touchdown, Browns! And being understated, I don't want to offend the Atumwa fans right in front of us. That's a sixth touchdown tonight. They would be tired if I had gone, roar, every time. That's a third touchdown run for Caden Chisel tonight.
And no cannon.
No, well, I could go boom. I got no problem going
no,
boom.
No. So what I'm saying is that I'm saying Tom Buckman and JNS, I think you guys ought to shoot shots off during warm-up from the scores from out-of-town games.
Yeah, so six shots next week.
Yeah.
Winky's kick is up and good. 4:37 remaining in the fourth quarter. 42-7, Greyhounds on top. Back in 1 minute on KBUR.
For over 30 years, Courtesy Door's reputation has been built by the quality of their products and the satisfaction of their customers. Garage doors, openers, or parts, Courtesy Door has what you need. They offer residential and commercial products from Rainer and Clopay, also specializing in large-scale agricultural and commercial doors. To schedule a service call, get a quote, or learn more about the area's favorite door company, go to CourtesyDoor.com or stop by at 2231 James Avenue in Mount Pleasant.
Here at Pizza Ranch, we'd like to thank our Swedish friends for bringing the buffet to America. They called it the smorgasbord, but it was a success anyway. So we started our own buffet and loaded it up with pizza, chicken, sides, salads, and cactus bread. And you can even request any pizza you want anytime you visit. We call it Buffet Your Way, because smorgasbord your way, well, that doesn't rhyme at all. Pizza Ranch. Mmm.
Come to Pizza Ranch in Burlington for their lunch and dinner buffet. For delivery or to go, call 754-5555.
Back here in Atumwa, and I got to give John Flaherty some credit here in just a second. Christian Snyder has it on the tee, and we're ready to get back underway. As he boots it away, it's going to be a squibber, going to be taken at the 22, hits off the shin of... Let's see, that's number 9, and he gets it up across the 30. Now a late flag is Ryan McKinnon is tackled, and the flag, I think they're going to call a hold on Atumwa. But you said on the way up here, and I didn't buy it, you said I would be surprised if it didn't get into a 35-point situation. And I'm thinking to myself, two 2-1 teams, that probably doesn't happen because here was Atumwa that found a way to come back from double-digit deficits in the first 2 weeks to get wins. Fall last week, but seemingly pretty good statistically anyway. And they come out, and Burlington has just had its way tonight, offensively and defensively. And when we say that, they now have 396 yards.
No, because we're doing the radio for the game, and we're live right now.
Sorry, fellas.
So good luck on that blue phone.
Take care, guys.
Go
Beauty of live radio. First and 10 from the 25. Shark under center. Inside handoff. Counter. And up to about the 20. First time we've called his name in a while is Cooper Derby. As he's got actually up to the 30, and he stays down on the ground. That's a
Wyatt.
Gain of 4.
Wyatt Messer with the absolute sure tackle.
But 151 yards now of total offense for Atumwa. 396 for Burlington. So it has been all Burlington since, as I said earlier, late in the first quarter when Atumwa tied it up at 7 apiece.
We do have some new names. Amani Smiley in at the nose tackle. Zareel Garrett at the defensive end on the other side, far side of the field.
Shirk with the keeper. Gets the left edge, pitches it late to Salema, and Salema with a carry up to the 35 or so, gain of 6. And that's going to be enough for a first down and move the chains for Atumwa. Abaya Salema, who came in averaging 8 yards per carry, has 8 carries, I should say 9 yards per carry, averaging 8 tonight. 8 carries, 65 yards, but 39 of those came on 2 carries, 1 of 13, 1 of 26.
Max Hartman getting some play time in here, just trying to get some names. Fans that are listening want to see some of their guys get in the ball game here late.
First and 10 from the 36. Fake pitch, inside handoff, counter to Salema. Salema across the 40. That'll be a pickup of 6, and it'll be second and 4 as we hit 2 minutes and 50 seconds remaining in this one.
Derek Duncan on the tackle for the Greyhounds. Solomon Cordero comes in.
It's
Trent
infectious.
Huffman comes in, along with number 62, Brayton Dixon.
It's the Greyhounds against the Bell Dogs. Second down and three from the 43. Shark. Inside give to Mannery. He's got a first down up to the 47. That's a gain of four for Cameron Mannery. Now up to nine carries and 45 yards.
Game like this, when you get to see some of these guys who don't get a lot of playing time, Derek Duncan doing some solid tackling here for the Greyhounds. That's something that you get to see on film, and then you go, okay, we're going to put a little more trust in you and put you in sometime earlier in the game on the defensive side.
Final minute, 54. Here's Mannery again from his own 48. Gets to midfield into Burlington territory at the 49. Gain of three.
Man, Messer and Duncan. I mean, those guys are really, you know, there's some good yardage here. You got some inexperience up in that front, but I'm telling you, you know, when you put B. Ferris in there, that's some pretty good action by that second level group here at the linebacker spot. So, you know, great opportunity to get on some video and get seen.
Nolan Heller in at tailback now. Send William Howard out to the left side. We'll see if they throw here in the last couple plays. They will. Shark's going to roll left. Shark rolls left. Finally runs out of bounds after a gain of one at the 48-yard line.
Nice job on Vance Walsh's part to just stay back until the run's been committed, and does a nice job of funneling him out of bounds.
Final 50 seconds. The Greyhounds are going to go to 3-1 as they enter district play next week against the Clinton River Kings. Clinton was trying to even its record at 2-2 tonight against McCloketa. Perhaps the final play of this one right here. Third down and six. Here's a counter to Salema with yardage inside the 35. 30. Still on his feet down to the 25. A nice pickup of 23 yards. And that will probably do it. That'll put Salema close to 100 as he has 10 carries for 95 yards now. 8 seconds. 7 seconds. Atumwa in no hurry. So that will do it for this one. Burlington comes out. Did not score on its first drive of the night. However, did score on its second. After a tumble counter, the Greyhounds reel off 35 in a row and win this one, matching their point total from a year ago by the score of 42-7. We're going to step away for 2 minutes, and when we come back, it'll be time for the Orthopedics Southeast Iowa Regional Medical Center postgame show. Coming up in two on KBUR.
Here at Pizza Ranch, we'd like to thank our Swedish friends for bringing the buffet to America. They called it the smorgasbord, but it was a success anyway. So we started our own buffet and loaded it up with pizza, chicken, sides, salads, and cactus bread. And you can even request
196 yards on the ground, one for one.
We call it Buffet Your Way, because smorgasbord your way, well, it doesn't rhyme at all. Pizza Ranch. Mmm.
Come to Pizza Ranch in Burlington for their lunch and dinner buffet. For delivery or to go, call 754-5555.
Time to head to the Broadway Bar and Grill in West Burlington for your favorite food and drink during football season. Each Saturday and Sunday, enjoy specials on pizza and appetizers, including wings, loaded nachos, potato skins, and samplers. Weekly drink specials include beer buckets and Bloody Mary specials all day. It's football season, and your place to be for all the big college and pro games is at the Broadway Bar and Grill in downtown West Burlington. Check them out on Facebook for their weekly specials.
Your child got hurt in the last game, and you're worried. Is it just a bruise or something more serious? Find out at the Saturday Morning Sports Medicine Clinic at Orthopedics Southeast Iowa Regional Medical Center in West Burlington. No appointments, just answers. Orthopedic providers evaluate injured athletes who must be accompanied by a parent or guardian. Bring your insurance card to the Saturday Morning Sports Medicine Clinic at Orthopedics Southeast Iowa Regional Medical Center, 8 to 9 a.m. every week during the fall sports season.
Time to head to the Broadway Bar and Grill in West Burlington for your favorite food and drink during football season.
each Saturday and Sunday. Enjoy specials on pizza and appetizers, including wings, loaded nachos, potato skins, and samplers. Weekly drink specials include beer buckets and Bloody Mary specials all day. It's football season, and your place to be for all the big college and pro games is at the Broadway Bar and Grill in downtown West Burlington. Check them out on Facebook for their weekly specials.
The game is in the books. With more insight and analysis as to tonight's outcome, we present tonight's postgame show.
No!
Back to the field. Here's Scott Mason and John Flaherty.
Back here at Ottumwa's Schaefer Stadium for the Orthopedic Southeast Iowa Regional Medical Center postgame show. Orthopedics, S-E-I-R-N-C, Fall Sports Clinics go on every Saturday. For any high school athlete, no appointment is necessary. It runs from 8 until 9 in the morning at the Wellness Plaza out in West Burlington. Well, the Burlington Greyhounds win tonight by the score of 42-7. They improved to 3-1 as they enter district play next week against Clinton. 7-7 was your score with a minute and a half remaining in the first quarter. But from there, Gabe Robinson, a touchdown run and a touchdown pass. Caden Schizel, 3 touchdown runs. 2 from 1, 1 from 20. Just a dominant performance, John Flaherty, as you look at it. 267 yards on the ground, 129 through the air, 396 overall.
You know, I knew that we were going to be a strong opponent for the Bulldogs. I got a little nervous in that first part of the first quarter, but after that, my goodness. I mean, it was an enjoyable game on one side of the ball, and it was on Burlington's side. So, yeah, it was enjoyable, and again, all the pieces played well together. I mean, had to be blocking up front, had to be nice receptions, but man, Gabe put the ball right where receivers were able to get their hands on it, and then just some great runs after that.
148 yards rushing in the second half.
Yeah, that's.
Remember at halftime, it was 119 on the ground, 129 through the air.
Yeah.
The Greyhounds finished with 129 through the air, but 267 on the ground. Just one of those performances where you just came out and you said, we're going to assert our dominance, we're going to impose our will, and that's exactly what Burlington was able to do.
Yeah, without an answer from Ottumwa, which I really thought might just kind of stick with getting to the edge. They really, in terms of team speed, that's where they had Burlington. But just nice job by Jordan Webb and the rest of the defensive staff, Sean Coleman and Joe Hesshoy, to put guys in the right positions to make plays. And, you know, you're going to get chunked plays just because of the way that formation is set up, especially in the trips and that back arc motion. You got to honor some of that stuff, but, man, once they got that figured out, they were solid in their tackling, and that was really, really good to see because first quarter, again, there were way too many arm tackles.
We're going to step away a little sooner than we normally do because we'd like to get you off the air by 10 o'clock so you can go over to our sister station. Don't forget, each and every Friday night from 10 until 11:30 over on 1360 KBKB, it's the Radio Iowa Scoreboard Show. You can hear it beginning at 10. It'll run until 11:30. Once again, that's on Fox Sports Radio, AM 1360, and on your FM dial at 104.5. By the way, I was on last week, so maybe you'll hear me again this week. Let's take a two-minute timeout. When we come back, we'll tell you who tonight's Area Recyclers Impact Player of the Game is, in John's opinion and mine. Coming up in 2 minutes on KBUR.
Contractors, do-it-yourselfers, the professional staff at Standard of Beaverdale can help you every step of the way. Doors, roofing, siding, windows, decks, electrical, and of course, lumber. Standard of Beaverdale will help you with the planning and design no matter what project you're working on. And they deliver. Need a new refrigerator or stove? Standard of Beaverdale. Check out the large appliance showroom. Enjoy the game. Standard of Beaverdale on Beaverdale Road in West Burlington.
Here at Pizza Ranch, we have a PhD in chickenology. We know why the chicken crossed the road. And we know what part of the chicken tenders come from. The delicious part. So it should be no surprise that we've engineered the country's best, juiciest, all-white, meatiest chicken tenders. Now available for carryout and delivery in 5, 8, and 12-piece boxes. Served with our new chicken dipper sauce. Pizza Ranch, we know chicken.
Come to Pizza Ranch in Burlington for their lunch and dinner buffet. For delivery or to go, call 754-5555.
Pizza Ranch. Mmm.
Time to head to the Broadway Bar and Grill in West Burlington for your favorite food and drink during football season. Each Saturday and Sunday, enjoy specials on pizza and appetizers, including wings, loaded nachos, potato skins, and samplers.
Weekly drink specials include beer buckets and Bloody Mary specials all day. It's football season, and your place to be for all the big college and pro games is at the Broadway Bar and Grill in downtown West Burlington. Check them out on Facebook for their weekly specials.
Here at Pizza Ranch, we'd like to thank our Swedish friends for bringing the buffet to America. They called it the smorgasbord, but it was a success anyway. So we started our own buffet and loaded it up with pizza, chicken, sides, salads, and cactus bread. And you can even request any pizza you want anytime you visit. We call it Buffet Your Way, because smorgasbord your way, well, that doesn't rhyme at all. Pizza Ranch. Mmm.
Come to Pizza Ranch in Burlington for their lunch and dinner buffet. For delivery or to go, call 754-5555.
Back here at Schaefer Stadium in Ottumwa, where the Greyhounds win tonight by the score of 42-7. Some other scores to get to. West Burlington, Notre Dame. Last thing I can find on Twitter is the Falcons were leading midway through the third quarter over Mount Pleasant by the score of 22-13. You had a couple of scores as well.
No, I've lost them, Scott.
Oh, you lost them? I will tell you, Columbus knocked off Lisbon tonight by the score of 49-20. So the Wildcats improved to 4-0. And North Scott trailing Cedar Rapids Xavier midway through the fourth, 17-0 now is your score in Eldridge.
So I found the score, Meepo 17, Regina 7. A nice upset for the Bulldogs.
So there are some scores from around the area. John Flaherty, who is your area recyclers player, impact player of the game tonight?
Man, I got to tell you, it was tough because so many guys did so many good things, but you're going to have to put it on the guy who started everything rolling, and that's Gabe Robinson. Gabe did pretty much everything offensively that he needed to do for the Greyhounds, and he did such a remarkable job of putting the ball right where receivers needed to be. And just then in the second half controlling the tempo of the game and running so well. So he is my MVP of the night.
Well, take your pick. Gabe Robinson, 17 carries, 127 yards, one touchdown on the ground, 5 of 5 for 129 yards and a touchdown through the air tonight. Alex Fawcett, 4 for 113 through the air and one touchdown. But I will go off the beaten path, and I will say that you got to have a finisher. And Gabe Robinson did a great job, and yes, he's the player of the game. I will go with that. But I think there's got to be a 1A when you're talking about tonight's area recyclers impact player of the game, and that's Caden Shizzle. 3 touchdown runs. Again, you got to have a closer to finish those drives. One was a sprint from 20, but two others were right there on the one where you have to get that tough yard to get in the end zone, and that's what Caden Shizzle was able to do. You look at the stats tonight, Robinson, 17 for 127, as we said, on the ground and a touchdown. Shizzle, 15 carries, 72 yards, almost 5 per carry, and 3 touchdowns. Nolan Simpson, 4 carries, 18 yards, so light duty for him tonight. Dimitri Donald got some tough yardage. You look at his yardage, 2-2, 3-0, 4-2, 3-2, 3-1. 12 carries, 45 yards, and a touchdown. And Noah Nixon, 2 carries for 5. Again, Gabe Robinson, perfect through the air. 5 for 5 tonight, 129 yards, and the touchdown. That's a total of 396 total yards for the Greyhounds tonight. For Ottumwa, all on the ground, 196 yards on the ground on 33 carries, averaged almost 6 per carry, but really a lot of single digits. -1, 5, 3, 4, 2, 4, 7, 7s. You know, not your big explosive plays, especially like you saw on the first drive or two when it was still a tight ball game. Leading the way was Abaya Salema, had a carry of 26 before a fumble and then an ending drive carry of 23 to get him all the way up to 95 yards on 10. Tanner Sharp, 6 carries for 27 yards. Cameron Mannery, 10 carries for 48 and a lone Ottumwa touchdown. Cooper Derby, 5 for 22 yards. Luke Grave, 1 for 5, and then Kevin Moreno, as I said at the end of the first half, 1 carry for -1 officially as he fell on a fumble a yard behind the line of scrimmage. But just a dominant performance, outgaining Ottumwa by 200 yards tonight.
And you know what? You could put that on the offense, but man, the defense played so well. Again, especially in the second half, the adjustments by Coach Webb and the rest of the defensive staff to make sure that you got people in the right place to make tackles. Trent Hoffman with an interception, what's that all about? I mean, that was a great job. And again, staying away from dumb mental mistakes and penalties that can cost you. I think that if you look at, if Wetumwa goes to look at video, they're going to go, man, we made some mental mistakes that if we didn't make, we might be looking at a whole nother score.
So now the Burlington Grounds sit at 3-1, just as they did a year ago. They enter district play with a home game next week at Bracewell against the Clinton River Kings. And John Flaherty, let's talk a little bit about homecoming week and the issues and problems that homecoming week can bring about. At the same time, when you're on a three-game winning streak, it's going to be an exciting week at Burlington High School.
Well, what week was this for the Wetumwa Bulldogs? Oh, yeah.
Homecoming.
Homecoming. Okay. So, now, the other side of that, though, is the Greyhounds are on a three-game winning streak. They've been playing well. You're playing a team that has not come down to Burlington in 5-6 years. And so you've got that advantage. You've got the advantage of knowing that these guys, this football team of the Greyhounds, you know, they know what the mission is. And I think they know and they're locked into knowing that all of the events that surround homecoming, as fun and as exciting they are and really needed for that school spirit, the esprit de corps, all that kind of stuff is really good. I think they know that they've got to back off of doing some of that themselves in order to be physically ready for a pretty important ball game as we start district play.
Yeah, and when you look at the schedule, very important to get that W tonight because despite the outcome tonight apparently in Eldridge, that trip to North Scott's going to be a very challenging. And if you're 4-1 going into that, you may very well be a top 10 team, if not receiving votes by that point in the season. So you're not going to come up and surprise North Scott. North Scott's not going to fear you. They beat you last year by the score of 42-0. So important to get that first win in the district next week, because then on the backside of that, you have a trip to Mount Pleasant, which at last check is on its way to a fourth consecutive loss. So important to get that win because chances are you can book in around, unless, you know, not to totally say that the North Scott game is a loss, because that's why you play the games, but North Scott's going to be favored. It's like the Bears playing the Packers this week. It's just what it is.
On paper.
You can win, but you're going to have to play almost perfect football to do it against a team like North Scott. So next week becomes magnified in its importance.
Yeah, and you know, if we're going to look 2 weeks ahead and we're going to look to North Scott, what really has to happen is we have to really hold on to the ball for as much time as we can and then be so sound defensively and not chase things to make big plays. They're going to get yards, they're probably going to get points. So it's a matter of just staying within yourself. But none of that matters at all unless we do something against Clinton this week. And so it is vitally important for our guys to make sure that their mind is right and not think, okay, here are the records, here have been the results of the games. We'll go ahead and just chalk this up as a victory because, hey, we're Burlington and we're number two in the state in total offense and in rushing, and you know, we've dismantled people. We can't do that. And I know the staff well enough to know that that's not the way they're going to do it. They're going to talk about, you better have your game face on and be ready to play.
And of course, you know who number one is in the state in rushing? North Scott.
Right.
So ahead of you there. But yeah, not putting the cart before the horse. One game to go before you get to that North Scott game, and that is next week, a very important home game as the district portion of the schedule begins against Clinton. And I like your aspect that they've not come down for a while, and that trip is a long one as you come down from Clinton. That's a 2.5, 2:45 bus ride, and you know, it's a little different atmosphere down here than it is at Cone Field.
Well, and it's, you know, it's a team you haven't seen. You know, it's not like when it was in the MAC and you're like, oh man, we haven't been down there for 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, hey, it's been a hot minute since we've been down there. So how do we do that? You know, what does this look like? Where do we get dressed? How, you know, all that stuff. And, you know, all of that surrounds that and getting ready for that and then just getting off the bus and just going, oh, and I don't care.
So stiff.
You know, I know you're 18, 17, 16 and you guys can just bounce like that, but some of those guys kind of go, wait a second, this is game week five. I'm a little stiff.
Yeah, big uglies probably more than us
super skilled
players.
Super
right.
skilled yeah. versus skilled.
Well, John, my thank you to you as always. My thanks to my tag team partner, John Flaherty, sitting to my left tonight as we brought you tonight's broadcast. I want to say thank you to Chris Arnett back in the studio who got us in and out of breaks and helped us sound even better than we deserve to sound, as he does each and every week. I want to say thank you to the fans who were listening back home. If you couldn't make the trip, or maybe you were following along on YouTube and listening to our broadcast all the while, we hope you enjoyed listening as much as we enjoy bringing it to you each and every Friday night. I want to say thank you to the following sponsors who let you listen to Burlington Football on KBUR. Standard of Beaverdale, Ryan Schmitz Flooring America, Danville State Savings Bank, Pizza Ranch, Courtesy Door Sales and Service, Pilot Grove Savings Bank, Ritter's Landscaping Home and Garden Center, the Broadway Bar and Grill, Corey Richards, American Family Insurance, Edward D. Jones, John Hart Financial Advisor, Brown Shoe Fit of Burlington, Bickle Cycling and Fitness, Queso's Mexican Bar and Grill, Des Moines County Historical Society, Diamond Vogel Paints, Matt Rinker State Farm and Rocket Mortgage, Zeiser's Landscaping, and Roberts Tire Center. Most importantly, thank you to the most important people in my life, my wife and my two kids, Ian, who's with us, Kelly and Aubrey, who are back home. My thanks to you guys for letting me do this each and every Friday night during football season. It's been a lot of fun these last 2 years. 10 wins in 2 years after we couldn't get 10 wins in 5. It's a fun, fun job to have right now. I'm not going to lie to you. Greyhounds are now 3-1. Home next week for Clinton. Make sure you come out and watch this exciting football team as they celebrate homecoming week at Bracewell Stadium. Kickoff sometime between 7:30 and 7:45, depending on how long the sophomore game will last. And we never did mention they won their game tonight 32-7. They improved to 3-1 themselves. So the two football teams for Burlington that play on Friday nights are now a combined 6-2. They kick off at 4:45 next week. So get off work at 5 o'clock, going down to Bracewell, check out a couple football games for some pretty successful football teams representing your community. Once again, your final score, Burlington 42, Ottumwa 7. Second consecutive game, the Greyhounds have put up 42 against the Bulldogs. And the Bulldogs, more importantly, will keep the doghouse for yet another year at least. We'll see what happens next year when the new district assignments come out and who the non-district opponents may be for your Burlington Greyhounds. As I say every week, it's not goodbye, it's see you later. So, from Ottumwa, Schaefer Stadium, see you later next week at Bracewell when the Greyhounds take on Clinton. Thanks so much for listening on KBUR.
Burlington High School Football on News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR has been brought to you by Courtesy Door Sales and Service, the Pilot Grove Savings Bank, Corey Richards American Family Insurance, the Broadway Bar and Grill, Rhinesmith's Flooring America, Bickle's Cycling and Fitness, Standard of Beaverdale, the All-Star Made Right Diner, the Danville State Savings Bank, John Hart, your Edward D. Jones Financial Advisor, Pizza Ranch, and by Ritter's Landscaping Home and Garden Center. Also brought to you by Queso's American Bar and Grill, Diamond Vogel Paints, Matt Raker State Farm Insurance, and Rocket Mortgage, Zeiser's Landscaping, Roberts Tire Center, Brown Shoe Fit, Case Buying Community Credit Union, Area Recyclers, and Southeast Iowa Orthopedics on News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.